Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are live. It is the fifth day of January 2009. We'll be here live for the next 4 hours. For the last hour and a half of the show, we're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock, a brain surgeon, a neurosurgeon, joining us to go over the dangers of not just aspartame. I had him on for about 45 minutes a few weeks ago, and it just wasn't enough time to cover it all. But also other excitotoxins like MSG and other additives that are put into your food, many of them petrochemicals. You see, because we're an oil-based economy, there's all those byproducts of the creation of gasoline, and they have to do something with them. So they just, back in the 40s and 50s, created a whole new industry of putting many of those toxins in your foods as additives. Most of the big pharma drugs they make over-the-counter and prescription are byproducts of petrochemicals and their toxic waste byproduct. Same thing with fluoride. They had just millions and millions of tons, conservatively, just in Tennessee alone, because aluminum and a bunch of other metals were involved in the purification of uranium, the sodium fluoride, lead, arsenic, cyanide that they used to basically cook out the uranium out of the rocks. And so they said, we'll just call it fluoride, because it's not just sodium fluoride, but all those toxic waste. And by law, put it in the water instead of having to store the toxic waste. I mean, that's on public record. So it's not just sodium fluoride when you hear them talking about fluoride. It's a catch-all term and name for hundreds and hundreds of substances. And none of this is even a secret. It's just not widely known. So we'll talk about some ways we can take control of our lives and try to minimize the amount of these toxins and poisons that we're all ingesting with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Coming up in about 2.5 hours. In the meantime, there is a lot of news and information that we are going to be covering today on the economy front, on obviously what's happening over in the Gaza Strip right now, and as we accelerate towards the inauguration on the 20th of January of Barack H. Obama, and the big surprise, the unpopular stance that we're supposedly going to see him carry out. And I think more and more it's becoming clear that it's a host of issues that are going to be unpopular, according to Colin Powell and Biden and many others. But chief among them, the Israeli papers, of all places, are admitting what we'd already reported here, that this is a multi-year plan to attack the Gaza Strip, and that Israel did break the ceasefire themselves, knowing they were planning to do it the entire time, to then go into the Gaza Strip, encircle the three major cities that have 1.5 million people living in them, chief among them Gaza City, and then to rocket and attack and bomb those areas like Fallujah until everyone basically has their back broken, and then they can be expelled from the country. There's a key article by Professor Michelle Chasidowski up on Infowars.com right now that we have a link to that is just so important because it goes through all of Israel's own admissions. This is not our opinion. This is a fact. And then meanwhile, our controlled corporate press is cold-bloodedly lying to the American people, telling us that basically Hamas launched the attacks on Israel and that they're doing all this for no reason, and they only report on the dead IDF soldiers. It's all very one-sided. Kind of like when the news announced that Russia had snuck attacked Georgia. Total lie, but hey, so what? Might as well just go ahead and lie to the public. I mean, even if you're not choosing sides in this whole thing, do you like being lied to? Do you like the fact that our media is a pack of criminals? Stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I specifically, coming up at the bottom of the hour, want to hear from listeners across the world. Russia, China, Japan, South Korea, the UK, France, Canada, the United States, Mexico, Chile, Argentina, Costa Rica, doesn't matter where you are, Australia, 1-800-259-9231. Over the weekend, I've been watching international feeds, and I want to get your take on what's happening in Gaza. And you watch the British news, it's 50-50, actually pretty balanced reporting on what's happening in Gaza over in the Middle East right now, bordering the Mediterranean Sea. And if you watch the European press, it's about 75% in favor. The vast majority of it's in favor. That's just a dead reckoning when I say 75%. Maybe it's 80%, 90%. In favor of the Palestinians there in Gaza. But here in the United States, it's completely one-sided. And that's why the public is so ill-informed here, is because we have such a horrible corporate media. You know, this is the same corporate media that told us 2-3 years ago to keep getting loans on your houses, take money out to take a trip or to you know, just blow some money or go shopping. And we were telling you that the derivatives market was a scam, that the private banks were planning to cut off liquidity to cause a global consolidation. We were called kooks. You know, we said buy gold when it was 280 bucks an ounce, and now it's 850-something bucks an ounce. But the mainstream media is still saying, on average, don't buy it. And now there's a bunch of press reports out last weekend and today going, you know, it's the media causing the problems in the economy. They've destroyed confidence. It's their fault. You know, really, the mainstream media is finally being forced to tell a little bit more of the truth about the economy. They'll tell you it's bad, but then they lie when they tell you it happened by accident or that it wasn't planned that way. But you do have the Economist magazine coming out and saying we're in a depression. You do have the Prime Minister of Canada saying that. You do have world leaders saying that. Remember, 9 weeks ago, the government reversed itself. They said, we're not even in a recession. Everything's fine. It's pessimist. The economy is great. And then when Congress wouldn't hand over complete and total imperial power to the Treasury Department and the private Federal Reserve, where no oversight could be engaged in, suddenly, the Treasury Secretary, the Fed Chairman of the private Fed, President Bush, Barack Obama, they all went to Capitol Hill. Barack Obama was the king of parading and kind of honchoing the whole thing through. He was the whip. He was the slave driver. And they said, we are going to have a total depression by next week if you don't pass this $700 billion bailout. And then people read the bill and they said, but it says unlimited money. It says no oversight. It says by law, no agency, no court, no branch of government can look at what the Federal Reserve does. Yeah, it was war powers act. And now Bloomberg, and I keep mentioning this, it's such a big deal. Bloomberg Financial 2 weeks ago, headline with the Federal Reserve board governor saying, we're not even involved now. Only the Fed group out of New York and an intergroup in the Treasury. And they've told us war powers has been enacted. All with, at the same time with Congress, two congressmen and a senator saying they were threatened with martial law. I mean, this is really happening. We're already under martial law. We're already under a North American Union. And we're going headlong into youth corps and compulsory draft 18 to 24 and people that are 45, 65, you know, they'll have to serve domestically, but everybody 18 to 24 in the military and junior high and high school will have to serve in domestic spy corps. That's not Alex Jones saying that. They're proposing it. I've got an article here where Nancy Pelosi's proposing, quote, equalizing everyone's pay in America. Talk about communism. as if that's really going to happen. They're just going to take the middle class money. And she even says, so we can help our immigrants. Take our money, take the middle class money and everybody else's money and ruin our future. And then she has the gall to say it's for the immigrants. I don't know. I mean, I'm all over the map here. It's just so wild to witness all of this unfolding. Here's an article out of the Memphis Business Journal. There's many of these. It's a talking point today. Most Americans say media making crisis worse. Talk about living in denial. And it is true that the fundamentals of the collapse, the controlled crisis, was hidden from the public until 3 months ago. 2.5 months ago. And then when the establishment wanted to terrorize everyone with financial terrorism, they said, we're going to have a depression. We could have a total collapse. And then that destroyed final confidence. And then the markets really started sliding. Remember that 1,000-point plunge the day they didn't pass the bailout? Remember the trillions of dollars that were lost? Who did that? And then now the media really is spinning things and saying there's a light ahead. Barack Obama will fix it. But yes, we're in trouble. Just do whatever he says and he'll fix it. And they've even got Pat Robertson coming out and saying global warming's real. We've got to have a global tax. And by the way, God told me that nothing can stop Obama and that socialism will ease your pains and the American people will accept it and it's inevitable and you will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. During the PrisonPlanet.tv show today, when we go live for simulcasting at 1 o'clock Central for the last 2 hours, I'm going to play that clip on air so you can see him last Friday, literally in the newscast. He says, God tells him this. It's like, and she says, you're like Moses in the mountain. He goes, yes, I go, and then God tells me. God tells me every year on the day after New Year's. I mean, this guy, talk about a shill. So they're telling you it's inevitable. Give in to whatever Obama says. Nothing can stop him. And the crowd of sheep are just going, yes, nodding their heads. Yes, it cuts to them. Yes. Most Americans say media making crisis worse. See, what has the media actually been blaming the crisis on? It's been blaming it on the auto manufacturers. That caused all of it. But before it was the subprime mortgage. But they said, we have to have the $700 billion by Friday or Monday. We'll be in a depression and the stock market will drop to 3,000. We're talking about total financial Armageddon. We must have it. And if you don't do it, Congress will just declare martial law. And then the next day, by Saturday, they passed it on Friday. Bush signed it on Friday. They said, you know what? We don't need that for subprime mortgage anymore. That really wasn't the problem. And then we had all these bank chairmen in the news saying, there's really no problem. We're just taking record bonuses and buying other healthy financial institutions and insurance companies. Remember that? We're supposed to forget all of that, just like we're supposed to forget that George Bush and that crowd said that Iraq had WMDs, and then later said they never said that. That's another video I'm going to play coming up during PrisonPlanet.tv live transmission when we simulcast the radio show. Just a five-minute video of what they said previously and what they said after. Because they didn't just say after, oh, we were wrong. They said, we never said that. That's a lie. And then now we're all supposed to forget about it. That's what Obama's saying in all of his speeches. He's saying, look, forget about the past. We're not going to have any investigations. We're not going to look at what's going on. We're just going to move forward. Let's be positive. Do whatever I say. And then after he's committed 8 years of crimes, the next administration will say, let's just forget what happened in the past. Let's just move forward. 77% of Americans think the U.S. media are making the economic situation worse by highlighting negative news as a result, lowering consumer confidence and investment activity. Well, yeah, because now it's time to butcher America. When they were setting up the Ponzi scheme to steal your pension funds and to take over the entire economy and deindustrializing the nation so we could never rise again, they were telling you everything was Valhalla and great and globalism was wonderful and NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization was as fantastic as mom and apple pie. Then when they're ready to blow everything out and consolidate and use the tens of trillions, and it's now in the tens of trillions worldwide, 8.5 trillion-ish in the U.S. that the banks have stolen out of the treasuries of the world, now they're the only ones flush with cash to buy at the fire sale. It's a real simple system. The survey of 1,000 adults was conducted in early December by Opinion Research Corps, which asked, do you think the financial press is making the crisis worse by projecting fear into people's minds? Broke down by income, 79% said yes from households making $25,000, $35,000, and 78% said yes from households making more than $75,000. By demographic, 85% 18 to 24-year-olds said yes, while 65% of African Americans agreed. Although statements by the media are protected by the First Amendment, the survey results demonstrate that the public believes that the press bears some responsibility for the lack of confidence in the economy. So that's a jab at the First Amendment. See, the First Amendment's causing this. It's not offshore banks. Richard Schiff said that. The First Amendment's causing a problem. Vice chairman and partner of the Philadelphia-based law firm Montgomery, McCracken, Walker, and Rhodes in a statement. Here's another one out of the Examiner, San Francisco. This is Baltimore Examiner, excuse me. Americans believe media making economy worse. So that's what's going on there. Okay, when we get back, I'm getting into what's happening in Gaza. Well, I'm going to finish up with the economy, some headlines there. Then I'm going to get into what's happening in Gaza and take your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. Stay with us. We're not just going to cover what's happening in Gaza and the economy. We're going to be covering fluoride, MSG, aspartame, and more with a top brain surgeon, neurologist, Dr. Russell Blaylock, an award-winning brain surgeon. He has multiple degrees, medical degrees, in studying the brain. That's coming up the last hour and a half of the show today. And I'm going to be covering UFOs. UFOs on PrisonPlanet.tv today when we go live in an hour and 40 minutes. I may even go live earlier because I need plenty of time to cover the video clips. But I'll be describing them on the radio, posting them up at Infowars.com for folks that don't have PrisonPlanet.tv to follow along. I remember, even before I got on the air, 20 years ago, I liked reading military publications and scientific publications and even mainline stuff like Popular Mechanics. And they talked about how the government was going to have giant blimps for warfare that are up at 80, 90,000 feet that are unmanned and that run off solar power and that can stay in position for years over major cities, and then they can see for hundreds of miles in all directions with ground-penetrating radar looking through your walls, with surveillance cameras. And then after 9/11, Homeland Security said, we're going to tether these over every major city. And CNN had headlines showing one of the blimps being tested above D.C. And I covered it in my film, Martial Law. They had the Fuji blimp out, sponsored by Fuji, run by the NYPD. Now, since then, they've put these blimps over Dallas and D.C. and L.A., and people go out with these telephoto video cameras, and it's ABC and CNN, and Larry King says aliens are invading. Look at the giant cigar-shaped craft, and you can blow it up and see that it's got the propellers on it, and it's got the devices for surveillance, and it's a blimp. I mean, as much as if you go to a firehouse and say that's a fire engine, or if you see a black-and-white spotted large dog, you go, that's a Dalmatian in a firehouse. I mean, or if you see me on TV, you go, that's Alex Jones. I mean, there's no debating it's a blimp. There's no debating it's not a flying saucer. And I've, you know, I haven't weighed in on all this UFO stuff. And I have no doubt in the endless reaches of, you know, billions of galaxies photographed by Hubble just within the field of view of Earth, I mean, I don't, you know, begin to even claim that there's not such a thing as space aliens. The point is, I cover what I can prove. And the media cynically is making fun of the public, saying that aliens, oh my gosh, a thing 3 football fields long, it was over Dallas, look at it. And it's a blimp. Silver blimp. It's even the classic color. It's got the propellers on it. It's got big blisters of cameras and devices and surveillance. And the government announced they were going to do this. But then now, you know, ABC News called the FAA and they said that they see nothing on their radar. Well, yeah, because it's at 100,000 feet. And the FAA has been told to lie to you because it's national security. So now that the blimps are being deployed, they'll just tell the public that it doesn't exist. And like children, they'll say, okay, then it's green aliens with big black bug eyes are up in it. And when they launch these blimps, they're always launched out of Fort Hood or they're launched out of Area 51. And everybody freaks out and goes, oh, look, the aliens, it's rising. And it moves slowly like a blimp and goes up and they, they're attacking, aliens, aliens. In fact, it's come out in the last few years out in Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas, around military bases, people would see these drones. And it's the exact drones that the Pentagon has shown that companies have made and they're prototype testing them. They're battlefield surveillance drones. They have a little fan in them, a little turbine. They're 2 feet across, 5 feet across, 6 feet, different sizes. They've had them for decades. And so separately on the news, they'll show you the drones, and then you'll see the exact drones out somebody's back window. Oh, my gosh, it's aliens, look. And then the news will be aliens were seen flying around. They're going to get us. The government will keep you safe from them. And it's a surveillance drone. Okay, I guess I'm already covering this. The point is, later it's coming up. Because, I mean, these videos, and there's hundreds of them. I mean, it's blimps. It's a blimp. I mean, is the public going to run outside and point at the Goodyear blimp and say, look, it says Goodyear. It's an alien. They're from planet Michelin. The aliens are big white creatures with roly-poly skin. Some say it looks like the Michelin man, but others say it may be Al-Qaeda from planet Quigglesnap in the Pop-Tart sector. All right, I'm sorry, I've already digressed. I'm going to take your phone calls, get into Gaza, the economy, a lot more. Stay with us. My websites are prisonplanet.tv, prisonplanet.com, and infowars.com. Stay with us. Every move you make, every breath you take, the surveillance blimps will be watching you. And if you say you don't want Homeland Security doing it, they'll just say, shut up, it's an alien. And the public will probably buy it. The National Reconnaissance Office and the NSA will be watching you. Land of the free, home of the brave, high-tech enslavement grid. You're slaves of the New World Order. La, 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 la. I mean, how obvious does all this tyranny have to get before the people rebel and say no to the national security state that is absolutely running wild and waging war and the info war and physical war against the people of the planet? We outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1. It's time to say no to the super class, the super maggots, the alpha maggots, the control freaks that make up the guild, the crime syndicate, known as the New World Order. Charts predict that S&P may rally 20% and then fall. The S&P 500 could rally 20% in the first quarter of this year, but investors shouldn't get used to the gains. In 2009 will be another year of losses for major indexes. Robin Griffin's technical strategist for Casanova Capital told CNBC, and that's exactly what Bob Chapman and other financial experts we have on are saying. the market tips. Dow could rally to 10,000, but MSNBC goes on to say they believe it will then fall after that. Another report. Government aid could save U.S. newspapers, spark debate. That's right. Federal government wants to take over newspapers. Oh, I mean, I guess that's freedom. I mean, that's they already spend billions a year buying up and controlling all the fake newspapers in Iraq. Why not here? They're already paying off most of the reporters. Why not just have it be openly run by the government? But then if you say, hey, Reuters says the government wants to buy up the newspapers, they'll say, no, no, no. That wasn't the government buying up newspapers. That was a flying saucer that did it. I can't. This is just so ridiculous. International Herald Tribune, U.S. commercial property in a downward spiral. And it is in a downward spiral, but the public, still living in la-la land, says, don't be so negative. You're causing all of this. Well, the bankers are the ones that caused it. And it is true, the public is getting wise to at least one level of the deception. Yes, the media is hyping the implosion because now it's time to do that. Treasury to mole, city-style rescues, AP reports, for hundreds of other troubled institutions. Translate that, big private central banks engorged on tens of trillions of dollars worldwide out of the treasuries of the planet, not just the U.S., but Germany, England, Japan, France, on and on and on, are set to buy up all the rest of the banks. And how are they going to tax you? There's a flotilla of taxing news as Obama's arrival in D.C. approaches as the savior. And we have Republican and Democratic pundits saying, don't challenge him or you'll cause a deeper depression, more financial terrorism. You've just got to do what he says or it's all over. EPA cow tax could charge $175 per dairy cow to curb greenhouse gases. Now, some of the Obama crowd have proposed this. Some of the state agencies have proposed it. But now, Business and Media Institute got a copy of the latest recommendation by the federal government, EPA.gov. They have the PDF file, and it says they will tax all greenhouse emissions, $175 per cow. They will tax the chickens, the pigs, but that's not the issue. The taxing's bad enough. It's the control. It's the bureaucracy. It's the national premises registration. It's the national animal ID. It's the control. It's the bureaucracy. And if you think $175 per head is a big tax, and it is, they're going to ratchet that up. And they admit that the $175 per head, and what is it, $75 per pig and $10 per chicken, to start off will be used to build the bureaucracy to then create all the other regulations. See, this is just going to be a cap and trade or a carbon tax paid to the private banks, which they've openly announced. It's all these other thousands of taxes over every facet of your life. And there won't be any real jobs, so people are going to have jobs as bureaucrats enforcing it. Every loser, no good control freak is going to get a federal government or local enforcement job. Heaven help us. Obama targets tax cuts for more than $300 billion, which is a chicken feed, but then wants to erect a new gas tax increase and all these other taxes. This is just going to be... So tens of trillions for the bankers, $300 billion for the people. A couple hundred bucks apiece. Obama is losing a battle he doesn't know he's in. Story out of the London Guardian, and that's coming up later, saying, oh, Obama doesn't know it, but by not saying anything about Gaza, the whole world thought he was this big peacenik, and now they're all getting upset and he's losing credibility. Well, of course he's going to betray everybody. It's what he does. He's already done that on every other issue. So we're going to get into that depleted uranium found in Gaza victims. That's all over the foreign press. And a great story by Michael Chossidowski, professor, all very accurate. He just has the quotes out of the Israeli news where they admit this was all pre-planned and is meant to finally drive the people out of Gaza. And they say it's part of the 48 plan used to drive the Arabs out of Jerusalem and other cities, like Tel Aviv that was used. So... it's funny, our media that's controlled tells us, oh, it was because of rockets and you know, the Palestinians fired first when it's admitted they didn't. And they're just Israel's just defending itself. Meanwhile, in the Israeli papers, they just admit, oh, we're just kicking them out. We're just going to torture them and starve them until they all agree to leave. So that is coming up as well. But right now, let's go to your calls without further ado. Bryant in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm better than folks in Gaza.
Oh, really? I wanted to make a thing today because I was at my school and I was heading into the school on my second.
Don't be so nervous. Don't listen. Relax. Just go ahead and get it out.
And they told me that like I knew my vaccine shots, and it was interesting because I knew what you, how you say that it's not mandatory, and at that point I wasn't sure what to do. So I had to come back home, and now I have to show them my records. So
we don't have to show them anything. They're just lying and saying there's a law. There is no law. I've gone over this 1,000 times. You may have missed it. It's very simple. They will kick you out of school claiming it's a policy and then trigger criminal charges for truancy. So it's all a trick. You have to explain. I know you have the vaccine waiver, which is a waiver to something that isn't even a law, so that's another level of fraud. But if you want to give in to the waiver, just say, give me the waiver. Or your county health department will have it. You simply get that waiver, and then you give it to them. And you say, if you falsely kick me out of school and then claim truancy, that is color of law, that is racketeering. That is fraud in an attempt to get your federal matching funds for inoculation. They get money for inoculating you, so they're lying to tell you it's the law.
Wow.
I appreciate your call, Bryant. Let's go ahead and talk to Andrea in Oklahoma. Welcome.
Hello. My point is, with a bully that's taking your lunch money and you beg them, don't take my lunch money, and they will continue to take your lunch money the next day and the next day.
And then soon they want your and then they want your backpack.
That's
and then
right.
And then they want to beat you up, and that's what government and tyranny is, and they're just not going to stop.
The thing is, Alex, and God bless you for being there, and thank you for your passion. I listen to you, and I'm amazed at your energy. And you're a blessing to us all. The thing I'm doing is I hold up a sign at lunch. I go out to the busiest corner, which here in Oklahoma City, and I hold up your station. And most of them cannot get your station, even though, you know, some can, I guess. If I can get one that can listen to your station, and it's the busiest freeway.
Well, the best thing
I'm
to do.
Flyers.
Best thing to do if you're listening to a local AM or FM station that's out of the area but comes partially into the city is drive to an area where it's coming in better and hold up the sign there.
That it's coming in better there, but I still have people that are sitting in traffic trying to tune into it, and they go, they can't pick it up. But if I can reach anybody. But the thing is, my gosh, we've got to do more than just get the word out. Because the bully is coming back every day, and it's getting worse every day, as you know, with the poison in the food, the fluoride.
And they know we're going to rebel, so that's why they've set up the police state in premeditated anticipation of our resistance.
The thing is, if you knew that somebody had busted in your house, and they were going to steal you blind, and then they were going to take your life, wouldn't you try and just go ahead and try and grab the gun and fight them to do everything you can? Because if they're going to go ahead and release a bomb somewhere, we've got to resist somehow. I mean, I know we want to do it peacefully, but they're not going to be peaceful. They're going to continue with what they're doing until, you know, what you said, get rid of 80% of us.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Plug the station, the frequency you're listening to.
The only thing I can get here is 107.1, and it's not a station. It's coming right out of Austin.
Yeah, that's a micro. Good folks. That's Radio Free Oklahoma. And again, give folks the frequency.
It's 107.1, and I think it's coming right out of Austin, Texas. I think we're able to get your frequency here.
All right, I appreciate your call. Now, what you've got is somebody there locally picking it up off the feed and putting it out. I don't really know the details, but thank you. Listen, the problem, people keep asking, why do we have to educate the public? Because the public knows the government's evil and corrupt. They don't know it's a private offshore corporation now that we've had a corporate takeover of the country, and the troops and militarized police don't even know they're part of a receivership arm. That's why we have to get the word out for them, to them, so that they see the big picture. The general public knows they're being lied to. They just don't have all the dots connected. And so we have to point out the dots and get people to step back and see the larger picture. We don't, I mean, you say start shooting. You know, you're asking that question. The average police officer doesn't know what's going on. Most of them aren't bullies. Most of them aren't thugs. But their bosses are giving them orders that are tyrannical, that are abusive. And they've incrementally trained them to violate rights. And they give them all these excuses for why they're violating rights or having warrantless checkpoints or working with the Marines or Army at checkpoints. But now the New World Order is finally going public. It's finally moving into its final takeover phase. So this is a very critical time for the globalists and for us that are fighting them, because now they have uncloaked themselves. Now they're emerging. Now they're admitting, okay, it's a world government, but it's for your own good. And we need to go, wait a minute, you lied all these years and said you weren't setting one up. Now you admit you're doing it, and you admit it's going to be run by private central banks, and we'll pay carbon taxes on all our activities, every facet of our lives to you, and you'll have bureaucrats that micromanage our entire lives and carry out one-child policy and eugenics. And I mean, you think the CPS kidnapping's bad now? You think the checkpoints are bad now? You think the micromanagement's bad now? It's growing. I'm getting all these emails going, oh my gosh, you know, I put my child in Head Start thinking it'd be a good free daycare. You know, I'm lower middle class, and you're right, I get CPS visits now, and they're trying to take my children. Absolutely, it's a trap. Nothing the government offers you is to help you. Look at all the, quote, help they gave blacks in the 60s and 70s. They went from 90-plus percent legitimacy in their births to over 90% illegitimate. They went from, what, 1 out of 10 black males ending up in prison to now 8 out of 10 black males end up with felony convictions in their lifetime. They institutionalize you. This is for everybody. They just beta tested it on weaker groups that were under greater control, where it was more societally acceptable to allow corruption and abuse against the people. You want to see what's going to happen in every area of the country. I don't care if you have white flight to the suburbs or the countryside. It's coming. You go see how black people in the inner cities live or how poor whites live, and then you're going to know the face of it all. Look at what the government does. This, I don't even call it the government. This criminal thing does when it has foster children under its control. Nationwide average, 67% of foster children. You can Google that. That number's about 2 years old. I haven't checked it. I know the number's gone up. There's over 100 million Prozac, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I saw that number in the Austin Market Statesman last week in 2008. Over 100 million prescriptions for one class, the SSRIs. I mean, is that a free society? 100 million people on a psychotropic drug that puts you into a mesmerized, hypnotized dream state? I mean, that's what the drug insert says it does. Causes psychotic breaks. Causes suicidal tendencies. 100 million people out of 300 million and growing. See, last time I had a number, it was 20% were on the drugs. That number's a couple years old. The new numbers is over 30%. And when they've got you captured, it's over two-thirds, 67%. 67%. Of the children they grab, they put on drugs, because then it's all tailored, because when a foster parent or an orphanage puts a child on a drug, they're now a special needs and they get double, triple, quadruple the money. So the average foster child who is on drugs is on 7 mind-altering, mind-bending drugs. Let's talk to Kurt in Texas. Kurt, you're on the air.
Yes, Alex. In our town, through public opposition, we were able to curb some of the spread of these red light cameras.
Well, you know what? I have thought all week. I'm trying to finish this Obama film, do 100 other things, but I want to go out and have a protest at the red light cameras they've got right down by the police station. They're all over town because state courts have ruled they're illegal, just like they've ruled in California that, and they're not removing them. And Austin's, the other cities have. Austin says, we don't care if it's illegal. I mean, those are illegal. You know why? No due process. There is not a sworn peace officer that's had the training and sworn and has a bond and an oath of office as a witness. There's no judge or jury, no due process, no chance to challenge. A private company mails you a ticket, so that's one reason the Texas court said they're all illegal. The second reason was the main company doing it in Texas. One company has over 80% of the contracts. I have the Austin News reports. They say that they're not even going to get the permit. Because there's a permit you have to get on top of it under state law. They did just this. They're lawless. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the police state marches zone. Some time back ago, we had a fellow 5 to 8 miles from where I live that went a little bit psycho and started shooting out onto the street. And the telephone rang.
Stay there. I want to hear about this when we come back. Don't hang up, Kurt. Then Brent, John, Mike, Rob, and others. I'm Alex Jones. You have found it, the front lines of the info war. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here. By the way, if you're listening on the AM and FM dial, Global Shortwave Satellite, the Internet, or watching us on a YouTube clip, don't forget the free podcast. At InfoWars.com, just go to the listen page, copy the code into your MP3 or iPod or computer. Listen to the show how you want, when you want, where you want, and save the shows. We now have a complete archive daily posted as well. If you don't want the podcast, you can just go click on the stream or download it. It's all at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And side issue, I want to go back to the caller. Later I want to talk about the incredible success we're having on YouTube despite all their censorship. They block us, people being able to give our videos thumbs up. We'll have the number one video, but they'll give us the number two or three video. And it's not just the Alex Jones channel that we're moving into taking over, working with the guy that started it, Dave, doing a great job. It's all these other channels like Puppet Government and others are just getting record hits. Robert Wanick, the 14-year-old, he has five videos that have between 70 and 100,000 views apiece in the last 2 days, videos of this show. I mean, think about that. He's 14 years old. Is it four or five or six? I think it's more like six videos. You can go pull it up. Go to his page, Robert Wanick's page. And, I mean, by the end of the week, it's going to be millions of views the way it's going. And the videos are number one on YouTube. I mean, we are having a huge effect in the info war. Folks, we do not want to go out and start shooting people. That is exactly what the globalists want. Why do they have to hire cops in Denver? Denver Post headline, the police admitted to attack other police in front of the news cameras to demonize the protesters so they could attack the general public and try to create a chilling effect against the First Amendment and freedom of assembly. Why have they been caught in Greece doing it? Why have they been caught in Canada? Why have they been caught in England? Because they want to demonize. And it is criminal. It is horrible. It freaks me out about the police. I want to believe in them. I want to believe they're not directed by evil, but that proves they are. Does that mean every officer's evil? No. So we've got a chance here, folks, to, I mean, if just this radio show is reaching millions and millions of new people every week, we're just one little outpost in the fight. And it's growing exponentially, ladies and gentlemen. It is so exciting. I was counting it up. The Alex Jones channel, on average, which is just one YouTube channel, there's a whole bunch that post my stuff, is getting around 800,000 views a week now. I mean, those aren't hits. Those are unique visits. I can't even keep track of all this anymore. We're number one on Shoutcast. And less than half our streams are even registered on Shoutcast. We're trying to figure out how to get all our streams tied into that. Number one! Number one! All right, I'm going to shut up. I apologize, Kurt, for going off on the deep end on that, but I just want people to know the good news. We are exploding. The freedom message is just going supernova. Keep it up. Kurt, finish up with what happens. This guy's out there going crazy in your area of Texas, and then suddenly you get a phone call.
The streets. I live approximately 5 to 8 miles from where this occurred. Me and all my neighbors, our telephone rang, and they told us we are declaring a red alert. Stay in your house. Do not go near the windows. Do not go outside. Do not open the doors until we tell you.
Yeah.
About 3 hours later, mm-hmm. They called and said, okay, everything's clear. There's no way him shooting 5 to 8 miles away from me could have had any effect on my place. I wrote a letter to the local paper pointing out that this was the beginning of martial law, and I was called on their blog site a nut, a radical, a crazy, one thing and another, a few threats failedly made on my life. Real great.
Kurt, stay there. We're going to come back in 70 seconds to start the second hour. I want you to tell us your town, what's happening, and I'm going to break down the larger picture. This is martial law, but it's meant to sound reasonable to the sheep and the police to condition them in preparation for it. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into the second hour of this worldwide transmission. We're talking to Kurt in Texas. Kurt, I want you to recap, because you got interrupted by the break. Tell your whole story again, and then I'm going to detail exactly how this feeds into the whole martial law control grid from the government's own documents. With what they're setting up, they've been doing this quietly for decades. It's all part of the EAS Amber Alert system. It is for the general public to lock down all U.S. cities and sectors, just like the Gaza Strip is locked down right now. This is a total control grid. That's what they call it. It's Pentagon designed, and they're slowly brainwashing the police who don't see the full picture and the local communities to go along with this. So break down from the beginning to the end what happened.
Okay, 6 to 8 months ago, a fellow went off the deep end. They said he was on some kind of drugs. Took a shotgun and started firing into one of the main streets. I live 5 to 8 miles from where this occurred. Our telephone rang. They told us we are declaring a red alert because of this condition. You are to stay in your house. You're not to go to your windows. You're not to open your doors. You're not to enter your car. And you're to limit your any phone calls to 1 minute until we give you the all clear. I pointed this out to the local paper that this was nothing more than the beginning of institution of martial law on us. They posted it on their website. I was called a radical, a nut, idiot, one thing and another, a few minor threats. Failed threats made on my life by people, and something like that, but that's just exactly what it is. I mean...
Okay, let me ask you a few questions. Yeah. What is the name of the town you live in Texas?
Abilene, Texas.
No, it will. That is a serious testing ground for globalist control. Okay, was it a live person that called you, or was it a recording?
Recording.
That, okay, we're going down the line. That just confirmed 100% that this is a federally funded operation. This does confirm that this isn't some cowboys in your town mimicking your local constabulary, mimicking programs, the fact that it was recorded.
It was a computerized voice, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah. That's under FEMA. All right, let me ask you a few other key questions. Was this the only call you've ever gotten?
Yes, so far. They told us at this time that when we were to stay in our homes that there would be SWAT teams on the street.
Yes.
SWAT teams for one man with a rifle. That's quite much, in my opinion.
Well, this is very sophisticated psychological warfare, and most of the officers there probably don't even have the slightest understanding of what they're dealing with. But when we come back from break, I am going to break down exactly what we're dealing with here. Any other points you'd like to make?
No, I've been trying to get your videos out. I'm not able to walk out and meet and distribute them myself, so I have two or three other people that are passing them out. I'm doing the duplicating and passing them to them to pass out.
That's how we're going to defeat the enemy, sir. What you're doing will defeat them in the end, and their attempted, again, foreign banking takeover, it's all engineered. They set up this receivership, the police state, knowing they were going to purposefully implode the economy. And now, I don't know how long you've been listening, but everything we laid out, how they would engineer it, starting with the how they would lay out the subprime crisis, how they would then openly announce the foreign banks were going to take over the planet, how we would pay taxes to them. Have you not seen all of that happen?
Yes, I have. And I think this thing over in Lebanon is a war of convenience, because I feel the unpopular thing that they are talking about after his inauguration is for him to say, well, I think we...
Stay there.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
To defeat an enemy, you have to first realize that there is an enemy. Private foreign banks, since 1913, have fully taken over the United States. They are now attempting to fully bankrupt the people and leave us homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered. And we are here at the gates. I want to briefly break down this whole martial law control grid from the angle that Kurt in Texas was just telling us about. I believe his story, because I've seen him do it in Austin many times. I've seen them do it in many other small towns where they're beta testing it. It's easier to do it in small towns. And I want to walk through what the feds admit they have covertly set up. First time we saw documents dealing with this was the late 1980s. 1988 in North Carolina and South Carolina, they first began this. So I want to give a brief history of it as soon as Kurt leaves us. But Kurt, finish up your point about Obama's unpopular move January 21st and what you believe that is going to be.
I think it's to commit U.S. troops to the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. There's quite a few people that do not like the U.S. involvement with Israel, because we are giving them more. We are giving them what would average out about $30,000 per person in Israel a year in foreign aid.
And that's just what we know of.
Ain't making that.
That's just what we know of. That's just the aid that is public. Absolutely, sir. I appreciate your call, and I believe that that is a very strong possibility. You know, there was big calls in 2006 to put a United Nations U.S.-backed, it'll be a U.N. operation, but predominantly made up of U.S. forces in Lebanon. And now, in fact, that's in my stack of news here, some of the Israeli documents are coming out in the Israeli press, and that is indeed what they are planning, to create a giant crisis, and they may even attack Lebanon again and then put United Nations / NATO troops in the north on the Lebanon, northern Israel border, and there in the south into the Gaza territory. And then you see, after weeks and weeks or months of bombing and siege and starvation, the Gazans will beg for the United Nations to come in as their supposed savior. And then the United Nations occupation will be used as a conduit for Palestinians that want to flee and leave. And that's the Israeli objective, according to Israeli papers, is to make it so untenable that the Palestinians will flee, not just there in the Gaza Strip, but also in the north. So that is definitely an excellent point made by Kurt. Okay, let me get into what's really going on. Starting with Columbine, which was clearly an engineered operation. The school was half empty that day. Harris and Klebold had talked about how they were going to shoot everybody. They'd been under psychiatric government care. They were both on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and one of them was also on a Ritalin-type drug. The sheriff and the principal sat there for an hour at a Subway while it all went on. 127 unexploded bombs, some of them weighing hundreds of pounds, were in the building, but something didn't go off. How were they able to place 120-plus bombs in the building? On and on and on, but I don't want to get sidetracked. I say a brief explanation. This is just so detailed. They used that event to turn the schools into prisons, to put up barbed wire fences, metal detectors, what they'd already done in the inner city, to roll that out nationwide, ID cards. If children wrote about anything violent in their school essays, they'd be arrested, now violating the First Amendment. All these zero tolerance laws. And then now they're going to move that model and are moving that model through the fusion centers, the emergency management centers in rural areas. It'll be over a 4 or 5 county area, federally paid for. They're even merging the National Guard into the same buildings with their armories. They're having the cities and counties move in, having their main police command centers for multiple towns and cities for regional government into the command centers. Then the face scanning cameras, the cell phone tracking software, the license plate reading systems are now all integrated into those. Then the feds every few months tell the local emergency managers new aspects of the control grid and, you know, give them new phony reasons for why it's all happening. Again, so it all sounds good. Kind of like 10 years ago, hey, UN troops are helping put out forest fires out west. Now we're hearing, oh, NATO and UN and British and Canadian and Mexican troops are going to help during riots in America. And it's in major U.S. and Canadian papers. See, but see, the police and firemen and others were acclimated working with foreign troops to put out fires, or Mexican troops helping with soup kitchens in Katrina. But making a big deal about armored convoys pouring across the border, flying giant Mexican flags in the news saying, since the first time since the 1880s, Mexican troops are in the United States. Again, there's thousands of points that integrate into this. People ask, well, how do you have your opinion or your view? It isn't that. When you constantly study this, you have thousands of points of data that integrate in together. And to even try to give you a data briefing on it would probably take the next 3 hours. But I'm going to try to abbreviate. Now, the reason I asked him if it was a recorded call, that shows that it is a set-up system, the same one we've seen the feds implementing as they federalize local communities all over the country with these different task forces. So they have emergency anti-terror planning under Homeland Security, under the emergency alert system set up in 96 but announced to the public after 9/11. They roll it out in the name of Amber, you know, saving a little girl. But if you read the real EAS system, it isn't about floods. It isn't about storms when you hear them take over the local feeds. It is about FEMA and the local emergency management command bunkers, the fusion centers in the future. Well, they're already doing it, flashing up on billboards. Look for this fugitive, video jumbotrons. Report terrorism, 1-800 numbers. Report illegal guns, 1-800 numbers. See, they're already using the FEMA system on major highways. First it's, oh, look for the little girl. Remember I told you a decade ago. First it's, look for the little girl. Oh, you're for saving little girls. And then now it's, oh, we're looking for terrorists. We're looking for gun owners. But they've got to acclimate the public, just like they raid schools for drills. Don't tell the children it's a drill. Put guns to their heads. Teach them learned helplessness. Terrorize them to submit, to load on the FEMA buses, to go to the local sports stadium. They've had those drills all over the country. Now it's time for the public to go through this. And so they just set up giant. There was some drug dealers that were shot at some police, so they locked down a large part of East Austin, evacuated scores of schools, or locked the schools down, told people don't come out of their houses, and this went on for hours after they'd already shot one of the guys and captured him. So again, in the past they didn't do that. Now they call you and say, stay in your homes, don't leave, or you'll basically be shot. Now in 88, the federal government wanted it where all cable systems, all radio, all TV, are hooked in to local federal feeds or international or national feeds. The president can come on and talk to everybody and take over, or it can be the locals just regionally. And they tried to pass a federal law then that by 1990 everything would be remote controlled. But they didn't get it until 1996. And so now they're training you with more and more break-ins about floods or about ice. Oh, they care about me, or about bad traffic. And now the FCC has told AM and FM stations as of 4 years ago, and I saw the internal memos, because at the time I was doing a show out of 1260 AM. I would also go over there and fill in for them here in Austin. And, just to finish up the basics on that front, the FCC said, get ready in the next few years. We're going to start taking maybe an hour or two a day of programming, and we're not even going to tell you when. We're just going to take over with public service announcements and things. And so they're getting you ready for that as well. just like the feds are saying they're going to start taking over the newspapers. So forget just placing their propaganda in the news. They're talking about openly running it and taking it over and doing whatever they want, whenever they want. And so you get a call, and it tells you, don't leave your house, don't use your telephone, do as we say. It sets the precedent that you're literally a prisoner, that you have no First Amendment, that you have no right to travel. Then they're acclimating, oh, the Marines are here to help at a checkpoint looking for drunks. You're not for drunks, are you? Oh, the Army's here to help look for drunks. You're not for drunks, are you? And then when you read the actual documents, they say, we're getting the public ready for the troops to engage the American people, Army War College, official Defense Department policy. NORTHCOM has the United States as a war zone, just like CENTCOM has the Middle East, just like SOUTHCOM has Latin America. I mean, we are a theater of operations. But the key is the red alert and the recorded message. That is the key here, the red alert and the recorded message. Because they're letting you know, this is a red alert. And notice, it's a guy out shooting with a gun. Why do they have all the major towns and cities in the country under federal grants working with the Army in bomb disposal and preparing for IED attack? Well, that's a nice excuse to get the Army involved in every community, to create that relationship, and to train the police to look for terrorists everywhere. But then when you read, as I put in my film, Police State 2000, Police State 2, The Takeover, Police State 3, Total Enslavement, Road to Tyranny, going back into the late 90s, I explained that the front of the military and covert operations in the United States against the American people is the bomb disposal teams, but they're only what the press is told about. Now that's all admitted. Of course, we got secret documents, because an FBI agent screwed up and said, here's the press release, and it was the press release stapled on top of an internal, not-for-circulation document that's in Police State 2, The Takeover. And it says, we're in secret operations in 77 counties. We do raids on homes. The Army is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, covert, illegal, U.S. Army, and then we even have a Marine on video, again, with the documents explaining that in the late 80s in Virginia, they were doing gun raids. The U.S. Marine Corps with police secretly. See, they've created these secret relationships. Now they need to condition the public to accept all this. So they say, oh, there's a mad gunman. Stay in your house. This is a red alert lockdown. Don't leave your home. It's all part of getting you ready for martial law. So when they're arresting your neighbors, they tell you to stay in your house, and then you do it. We'll be right back. We're going to be going live at PrisonPlanet.tv in T-minus 6 minutes. And I said I'm taking a lot of calls, and I spent 20 minutes with Kurt because his information was just too vital, and I wanted to break down that that is indeed happening, and that's how this slow creeping death, similar to how special forces take over third world countries and their governments, is going on right now in the United States. They're well-trained hands with this, but remember, the brainwashing is more intense against the troops and the police. They're only incrementally told about it. Remember, Congress is now under war powers, public martial law, Bloomberg, AP. This is all being calmly announced because now they're moving into the final phase. They've got to admit it, so it looks mainstream for the FBI and the police who are questioning, well, it, you know, just the foreign banks own us now. Okay, we're defending America. Let's take a few more calls. Brent in Washington. Brent, you're on the air.
Alex, hey, good to have you out there. Doing an awesome job.
I try. There's just too much info.
Hey, this morning on CNBC, I was watching Squawk Box, and they were interviewing Henry Kissinger, and they asked him about Israel and the conflict. And anyways, he came up and said that this is a perfect time for Obama to create a new world order.
Who said that?
Henry Kissinger on Squawk Box.
Henry Kissinger on Squawk Box. Well, I mean, they're constantly, look, hundreds of newspapers a week are saying world government's good, world government will save you, we set it up for your own good, and then I post links to the stories on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, we do, and then they go in under the stories and say, you're lying, this isn't real. And they've got to be disinfo operatives. I mean, how are they denying AP, Reuters, Financial Times of London? They're just flaunting it.
It's crazy. It almost fell off my seat when he said it. I had to rewind it to make sure I heard what I heard. But they're certainly not hiding anything.
Well, they're hiding the fact that they engineered the crises. But I'm going to cover it after the break, what's really happening in Israel. The invasion of Gaza, Operation Cast Lead, is part of a broader Israeli military intelligence agenda. And then the story from Global Research that we have posted by Professor Chassidovsky of International Affairs, he just gives all their own admissions. This is out of Haaretz or Haaretz. I mean, it's all there. They are staging all of this and then admitting it.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, I did have one question for you. What was significant? Why did they choose the date of September 11th to orchestrate the attacks?
You can get into all of the bizarre numerology that the elite is obsessed with. I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan would only give speeches at a certain minute, certain day, according to his astrologer. And, of course, that's just the light end of it. You have Bohemian Grove. You have Tony Blair admittedly doing rituals every morning saying he's possessed by the spirit of white light and he falls on the ground and flops around. I mean, you can't make this up, folks. If you don't believe me, just Google it. It's been all over the British papers. They're just a bunch of lunatics. And they don't worship the same God as most of us.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of research on the specialists in the markets and some of the movements that, you know, the internals of the markets, and it's interesting how specialists leave signs or signals about when they're going to move the market up or down, and I've been doing some charting anyways. One of the a big sign on the charting has come to about April 15th, so I was just, you know, I'm trying to figure out if that is significant in any way, if that's going to be.
Well, I know a lot of top financial experts from a wide range that we interview say that April, May is when they believe things will start plunging again. And I've got MSNBC saying they think in January, February, March, stuff's going to go up. And then in April and May, it's going to go back down. Who knows? They could be saying that to throw us a curveball. Who knows? We will certainly find out.
Well, I think we're going to hit 12,000 on the Dow sometime by the end of April.
To get the suckers' confidence again before they really hammer us.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be something significant happen between the end of April and May that's going to cause the Dow go from 12,000 down to 6,000 or less within weeks. And then all the people that still have their money in there they're gonna lose the rest of their money. So,
absolutely, great to hear from you. Appreciate your call. I'm gonna get into the Gaza Strip when we come out of this segment. We'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, be sure and get over there and enter your passcode at PrisonPlanet.tv to watch the live transmission. We'll also post the archive after the show today. Stay with us. Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're live on the radio, and we simulcast sometimes the entire four-hour show, but always the last hour. We're now live at PrisonPlanet.tv, 1.5 hours in to this worldwide transmission on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave satellite, and the Internet, both audio and visual, at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we do this because of our brotherly love. We do this because we know there's wicked, sadistic tyrants in control of the planet. The Anglo-American elite. All of us are under attack. Black, white, old, young, Hispanic, Asian, the North, the South, Christian, Muslim, Jew. In the final equation, the New World Order is waging war against the Hindu, against the Sunni, the Shiite, against the Sephardi. We are together. And they don't want to see us unite. All they want to do is see us fuss and fight.
All they want us to do is keep on fucking and fighting.
All they want to see us do is go on killing one another.
All they want us to do is keep on killing one another. Top ranking.
All right, let me tell you what's coming up in the next 2 hours and plus that we have left today. 2 hours, 25 minutes. Dr. Russell Blaylock joins us for the last hour and a half. Brain surgeon, neuroscientist, dealing with the toxins in our food and water by design, the eugenics agenda. He's one of the most prestigious in his field out there, and we'll have his bio up on screen for you. That is coming up. We're going to be taking calls in the meantime, and covering the news on a host of issues. I'm going to get into what's happening in Gaza right now, clearly part of Obama's unpopular surprise that Joseph Biden and others promised the public. I'm then going to get into the fact that the right wing and the left wing are controlled by the same interest, and they're bringing in their global carbon taxes and exactly what that's going to mean to the economy and society, and Pat Robertson disgustingly pushing it and saying it's of the Lord, kind of like he said forced abortion in China was something he didn't like, but they're doing what they had to do. So the tacit approval of that. And Christians will attack me saying that how dare I not want to abort the Chinese babies now. It's kind of very twisted how things are working. So that's coming up. And then I never get into UFOs, but I briefly want to get into Project Bluebeam some next hour. Because on Larry King Live and on ABC News and everywhere, people keep sending me emails going, my God, giant cigar-shaped craft, the UFOs, the aliens. They're over Albuquerque, they're over Dallas, they're over L.A., they're over everywhere, they're going to get us. And you see the video, and it's a giant blimp. But the military won't admit what they're doing, and so the public thinks it's, the media acts like it's aliens. Little green aliens from Mars. Folks, again, I'm not poo-pooing that there might be some other life in the universe. I think that's of certainty. The issue here is the government admits, they always admit, and they're in the planning stages. 10 years ago, I made films about it, that they're going to put over every major city drone blimps. I'm going to get into it later. And you can see it. It is a blimp. These giant craft are blimps. And it doesn't matter to the public because the media is telling them it's little green men. So we'll get into that. I mean, you know, I'm the kook because I don't believe they're little green men. But Larry King Live, that's good mainstream, and it's aliens. So Pat Robertson's for abortion. And mainstream media is saying aliens are real, and I'm the weirdo because I'm saying that isn't very Christian conservative of Pat Roberts, and it isn't very credible for the media. The media knows they're blimps, folks. They think you're complete idiots, and they're just messing with you. Okay, let me go ahead and get to the Gaza situation. Punch up on screen this article, please. This is from Global Research. We have it posted up on Infowars.com. We're going to get Professor Chasadosky on later. But what I like about his article from GlobalResearch.ca is that he lays out all the facts that we're aware of here, and so that I can I trust the professor, but I also verify. And so I'm already acutely aware of everything that's in his article, but I know a lot of the public aren't. Now, I'm not bringing that up to say, oh, I'm smart, I know about this. I'm saying this is accurate information. I have confirmed it for myself. Now, it is a lengthy article, to say the least. Okay, so I am not going to have time on air today to read this all. But if you want to be informed and not just be lied to by the controlled corporate propagandist, you need to go to Infowars.com and read this story and then link through to his site and read more there as well, previous articles. If you want to be informed. Now, let's go ahead and go over some of this article. Here we go. The invasion of Gaza, Operation Cast Lead, part of a broader Israeli military intelligence agenda. The aerial bombings and the ongoing ground invasion of Gaza by Israeli ground forces must be analyzed in a historical context. Operation Cast Lead is a carefully planned undertaking that is part of a broader military industrial agenda, first formulated by the government of the Prime Minister Ariel Sharon in 2001. Sources in the defense establishment said Defense Minister Ehud Barak instructed the Israeli Defense Forces to prepare for the operation over 6 months ago, even as Israel was beginning to negotiate a ceasefire agreement with Hamas. That is Barak Ravid. Operation Cast Lead, Israeli Air Force strikes followed months of planning. Haaretz, December 2008. Okay, so that is Haaretz, December 27, 2008. It was Israel which broke the truce only on the day of the U.S. presidential elections, November 4th, when everybody was distracted. Kind of like U.S., NATO, Israeli forces attacked the Russians in South Ossetia on 888 with the Olympics kicking off. They do it when people aren't looking. It's classic military operations. And again, he has link after link. Israel has used the distraction to break the ceasefire between itself and Hamas by bombing the Gaza Strip. Israel claimed this violation of the ceasefire was to prevent Hamas from digging tunnels into Israel territory. The very next day, Israel launched a terrorizing siege of Gaza, cutting off fuel, food, medical supplies, and other necessities in an attempt to subdue the Palestinians while at the same time engaging in armed incursion. In response, Hamas and others in Gaza again resorted to firing crude, homemade, and mainly inaccurate rockets into Israel. During the past 7 years, these rockets have been responsible for the deaths of 17 Israelis. Over the same time span, Israel blitzkrieg results in killing thousands of Palestinians, drawing worldwide protest, but failing and falling on deaf ears at the UN. And that's Shamas Cookie, the massacre in Palestine, the threat of wider war, global research, December 2008. Now, here's where the story gets into the key area. Planned humanitarian disaster. On December 8th, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte was in Tel Aviv for discussions with the Israeli counterparts, including the director of Mossad, Dagon. Operation Cast Lead was initiated 2 days after Christmas. It was coupled with a carefully designed international public relations campaign under the auspices of Israel's foreign ministry, saying that Hamas had broken the ceasefire when they hadn't. It was Israel bombing all over the nation and also cutting off all the border entrances and not allowing any food or medicine in. Hamas military targets are not the main objective. Operation Cast Lead is intended quite deliberately to trigger civilian casualties. What we are dealing with is a planned humanitarian disaster. That's a quote in Gaza in a densely populated urban area. See the map on your screen. The longer-term objective of the plan, as formulated by Israeli policymakers, is the expulsion of Palestinians from Palestinian lands. Terrorize the civilian population. This is a quote from Israeli war planning. Terrorize the civilian population, ensuring maximal destruction of property and cultural resources. The daily life of the Palestinians must be rendered unbearable. They should be locked up in the cities and towns, prevented from exercising normal economic life, cut off from the workplaces, schools, and hospitals. This will encourage immigration and weaken the resistance to future expulsions. Shalinsky, quoted by Gillian Hussein, Gaza, the world's largest prison, Global Research. And then they go into all the Israeli war planning where this is admitted. Operation Justified Vengeance. A turning point has been reached. Operation Cast Lead is part of a broader military intelligence operation initiated at the onset of Ariel Sharon's government in 2001. It was under Sharon's Operation Justified Vengeance that F-16 fighter planes were initially used to bomb Palestinian cities. Operation Justified Vengeance was presented in July 2001 to the Israeli government of Ariel Sharon by the IDF staff Saul Mofaz, under the title The Destruction of the Palestinian Authority and the Disarmament of All Armed Forces. A contingency plan, codenamed Operation Justified Vengeance, was drawn up last June 2001 to reoccupy all the West Bank and possibly the Gaza Strip as a likely cost of hundreds of Israeli casualties. Washington Times, 19th, March 2002. According to Jane's Foreign Report, Jane's Weapons Quarterly, July 12, 2001, the Israeli army under Sharon had updated its plans for an all-out assault to smash the Palestinian Authority, force out leader Yasser Arafat, and kill or detain its army. Bloodshed justification. The bloodshed justification was an essential component of the military intelligence agenda. The killing of Palestinian civilians was justified on humanitarian grounds. Israeli military operations were carefully timed to coincide with the suicide attacks. Again, remember, Israel founded Hamas as a counterbalance against the PLO. The assault would be launched at the government's discretion after a big suicide bomb attack in Israel, causing widespread deaths and injuries, citing the bloodshed as justification. That's Tanya Reinhart, Evil Unleashed, Israel moved to deploy and destroy the Palestinian Authority in a calculated plan. Also Global Research. The Dagon Plan, Operation Justified Vengeance, was also referred to as the Dagon Plan, named after General, now retired, Meir Dagon, who currently heads the Mossad Israeli Intelligence Agency. Reserve General Myron Dagon was Sharon's national security advisor during the 2000 election campaign. The plan was apparently drawn up prior to Sharon's election as prime minister in February 2001, according to Alex Fishman, writing for Yedioth. The Dagon plan consisted in destroying the Palestinian Authority and putting Yasser Arafat out of the game. Operation Justified Vengeance, a secret plan to destroy the Palestinian Authority. As reported in Foreign Report, Jane, as disclosed locally by Israel's invasion plan in local papers, reportedly dubbed Justified Vengeance, would be launched immediately following the next high-casualty suicide bombing, would last about a month, and is expected to result in the death of hundreds of Israelis and thousands of Palestinians. The Dagon plan envisioned the so-called cantonization of the Palestinian territories, whereby the West Bank and Gaza would be totally cut off from one another, with separate governments in each of the territories. Under the scenario already envisioned in 2001, Israel would negotiate separately with Palestinian forces that are dominant in each territory, Palestinian forces responsible for security, intelligence, and even from the Fatah. This plan was closely resembled the idea of the cantonization of Palestinian territories put forth by a number of ministers. That's from Le Monde, the big French publication. December 17, 2001. The Dagon plan was established continuity in the military intelligence agenda in the wake of the 2000 elections. Meir Dagon was assigned a key role. He became Sharon's go-between to the security issues of the President Bush's special envoys, Zini and Mitchell. He was subsequently appointed director of the Mossad by Prime Minister Ariel Sharon in 2002. In the post-Sharon period, he remained head of Mossad. He was reconfirmed in his position as director of Israeli intelligence by Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in June of 2008. Meir Dagon, in coordination with the U.S. counterparts, has been in charge of various military intelligence operations. It is worth noting that Meir Dagon is a young colonel, had worked closely with the Defense Minister Ariel Sharon in the raids on Palestinian settlements in Beirut in 82. In 2009, ground offensive in Gaza, in the many regards, bear an uncanny resemblance to the 1982 military operation led by Sharon and Dagon. Continuity from Sharon to Olmert. Then it goes through how it's all continuity. And the basic plan. One, the assassination in November of Yasser Arafat. This assassination had been on the drawing board since 96 under Operation Fields of Thorns, according to the October 2000 document prepared by the Security Service at the request of the then Prime Minister Ehud Barak, stated that Arafat, the person to serve the threat to the Prime Minister, the security of the State of Israel, and the damage which will result from his disappearance is less than the damage caused by his existence. And it continues here. Part 2, removal under the orders of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon 2005 of all Jewish settlements in Gaza. A Jewish population over 7,000 was relocated. This is from CBC, March 2004. It is my intention, Sharon, to carry out a relocation of settlements that cause us problems and of places that we will not hold on to anyway in a final settlement, like the Gaza settlements. I am working on the assumption that in the future there will be no Jews in Gaza, Sharon told CNBC. The issue of the settlements in Gaza was presented as part of Washington's roadmap to peace, celebrated by the Palestinians as a victory. This measure was not directed against the Jewish settlers. Quite the opposite. It was part of an overall covert operation which consisted in transforming Gaza into a concentration camp. As long as Jewish settlers were living inside Gaza, the objective of sustaining a large barricade prison territory could not be achieved. The implementation of Operation Cast Lead required no Jews in Gaza. That's from CBC. Number 3, the building of the infamous apartheid wall was decided upon at the beginning of the Sharon government. 4, the next phase of the Hamas election victory in January 2006, without Arafat, the military, Israeli military intelligence architects knew that Fatah, under Mahmoud Abbas, would lose the elections. This was part of a scenario which had been envisioned and analyzed well in advance. With Hamas in charge of the Palestinian Authority, this is key, using the pretext that Hamas is a terrorist organization, Israel would carry out the process of cantonization as formulated under the Dagon Plan. Fatah, under Mahmoud Abbas, would remain formally in charge of the West Bank. The duly elected Hamas government would be confined to the Gaza Strip. Ground attack. On January 3rd, the Israeli tanks and infantry entered Gaza in an all-out ground offensive. The ground operation was preceded by several hours of heavy artillery fire after dark, igniting targets in flames and burst into the night sky. Machine gun fire rattled. Bright tracer rounds flashed in the darkness, and the clash of hundreds of shells set up streaks of fire. AP. Israeli sources have pointed to a lengthy, drawn-out military operation. It won't be easy, and it won't be short, said Defense Minister Ehud Barak in a TV address. Israel is not seeking to oblige Hamas to cooperate. What we are dealing with is the implementation of the Dagon Plan, a plan formulated in 2001, which called for an invasion of Palestinian-controlled territory by some 30,000 Israeli soldiers with a clearly defined mission of destroying the infrastructure of the Palestinian leadership and collecting weaponry currently possessed by the various Palestinian forces and expelling or killing its military leadership. The broader question is whether Israel, in consolidation with Washington, is intent upon triggering a wider war. Mass expulsion could occur in some later stage of the ground invasion, with the Israelis to open up the Gaza borders to allow the exodus of population. Expulsion was referred to by Ariel Sharon as the 1948 style solution. Stay with us. Okay, we are back live here. I'm going to take some of the calls that are patiently holding. Coming up in the first 30 minutes of the next hour, then Dr. Blaylock will be joining us. We're going to try something new tomorrow at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to go live at noon central with our regular guest, Mike Rivero, and he's going to be live on a video cam feed with us on the show. We're going to have a lot of our guests who do have video cams with us here on the show in the future, adding more and more. We're going to add a document cam in here. I'm also going to add a little tablet where I can write on documents and things on screen, kind of like Joe Madden with football, but with I can put up the Gaza Strip map and go over it, things of that nature. So that's all coming up here as we integrate the radio show with the PrisonPlanet.tv audience as we develop the show for putting it on cable or satellite, working on both right now, and building another full TV studio out here. But continuing here, at the end of this excellent article that's all meticulously sourced, and most of it right out of the Israeli and U.S. newspapers, it ends with the mass expulsion could occur at some later state of the ground invasion where the Israelis to open up Gaza borders to allow for an exodus of the population. Expulsion was referred to by Ariel Sharon as the 1948-style solution. For Sharon, it is only necessary to find another state for the Palestinians. Jordan is Palestine, was the phrase that Sharon coined. So put that map back up there, if you can, of the Gaza Strip for folks. Again, there in bordering southern Israel to the east, Egypt to the south, and the Mediterranean Sea to its west. That's the other map. They are completely surrounded. They are completely surrounded, and they are under total siege. And if you look on the map, you see Gaza City, the largest, with around 800,000 of the population, then the other 700,000 are in some of the central cities and the southern cities. And what the Israeli military has done is they've encircled Gaza City. They've got gunboats and naval forces all along its border with the Mediterranean. Again, down here to the south, you have Egypt that the Gaza Strip formerly belonged to. And simply put, the Ottoman Empire for hundreds of years controlled much of the Middle East and, of course, Israel. And then when they fell after World War I, the British came in and filled the vacuum And the Rothschilds owned and controlled, since their scam they ran in 1815, buying up the stock market, claiming that Napoleon had won the Battle of Waterloo. They were able to finance folks in Israel actually attacking British forces. And after the British were kicked out, what is the 1948 option? Israel declares sovereignty in 47 and then begins bombing, shooting, killing Arabs that were living there, Palestinians, and pushing them out. That's the expulsion model. So you have Israel, and that's why you had the Arabs who'd been there for thousands of years, and back in the time when it was Judea, who lived in peace with the Jews. In fact, it'd be the Arabs and the Jews generally fighting with the Romans and the Babylonians and others. And it hadn't been Israel since 70 AD when Titus went in and did what Israel's doing to the Palestinians. Put the map back up right here. I want to show people something. Zoom in on this. I want to point it out here on my screen. Let's cut to camera two, and I want to show people here on the screen myself. Notice that with the pincer attack, the Israeli troops came in and circled Gaza City and then circled the other towns and have surrounded it. What did Titus do? Well, Titus over in Jerusalem did the same thing 1938 years ago. He went in, he encircled Jerusalem, waited until they basically starved to death, and went in and burned the place down. So this is just total siege, ladies and gentlemen. And Israel's doing what was done to them by the Romans 1900 plus years ago to the Gazans.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I want to get into the economy, all the new taxes they're setting up, how they've got this supposed right-wing gatekeeper, or Judas Goat, the local viceroy over Christian conservatives here in the United States, Pat Robertson. If you thought him saying China was good to have forced abortion, that he loved their Planned Parenthood program, that needed to be more aggressive, then you're going to love the new stuff he's saying. He is almost trumping Pastor Hagee, saying Jesus isn't the Messiah. Whether you're a Christian or not, that's pretty asinine to have a supposed Christian leader saying that. He is now out saying that socialism will basically save the United States and that Obama cannot be stopped and that Obama's a great guy. And that socialism will ease our pain. So just amazing thing that's happening there. That is coming up. Finishing up with the horrible carnage in Gaza. This is tribal warfare. And both sides have done terrible things to each other. There's no doubting that. And, you know, Israel can say they have a claim on that from their point of view. But the Arabs have an even stronger claim. And my whole issue here is Mexico did control Texas, parts of Louisiana, and then all the way to California. Before that, it was the Spanish Empire. Now, it's taught in Mexico that the Southwest belongs to Mexico and will be reconquered. And the billboards are put up, and Spanish-speaking TV and radio says that constantly, and it's pushed. Do we want to get into a situation with the United Nations where the group that previously had control of this area is now saying it's theirs? And usually when I hear that analogy, it's an example of the Palestinians previously having control, and then now Israel taking it over in the 1940s. But really, if you go back, we have people from all over Europe immigrating there, some of them Jews, some of them not, saying that because they were there 1938 years ago, that it belongs to Israel. I mean, the Arabs were always there. They're there now. They have their mosque, their religious centers there. You know, there wouldn't be such a big deal if this was, say, part of southern Syria or part of Jordan. I mean, it would be bad enough if Israel went and took that, but that's just some desert or some mountains. This is the Holy Land. This is where the Crusades happened. This is where the Muslims and the Christians fought. Before that, the Jews and the Romans fought. I mean, this is an area that people have always been fighting over. What I don't like is the United States being sucked into the middle of it, and the United States funding, on average, $30,000, that's an accurate number, a caller mentioned earlier, per citizen of Israel. I mean, I'm against foreign aid to anybody. And as Ron Paul has said, and then the larger issue here domestically is that the media is lying and saying that Hamas broke the ceasefire when the ceasefire deal was is that the border entrances would be open to Israel at the checkpoints. You go through a checkpoint. Those are just completely shut down for people to get jobs in Israel, and a lot of people in Israel want to hire them. And that Israel wouldn't engage in any more bombings in the West Bank. And they broke that. They intended to break that the whole time while they were building up, getting ready for this invasion. Now they've encircled the three major cities and the small towns, and they're just going to wait it out, let them starve to death, basically. And they've bombed their infrastructure, their small water treatment facilities, their wells. They have bombed their electrical systems. They've bombed their communications installations. And you got 1.5 million people there, ladies and gentlemen, and the tunnels bringing in food and supplies and fuel oil, and Israel says weapons. No doubt that's happening. Those have all been bombed. And 3 million Iraqis have died in the 18 years of occupation, well, the siege and then the 5.5 years of occupation. 1.5 million of those in the last 5.5 years. I mean, this is horrible what's being done in our name. And Israel wanted in the 80s to have the U.S. invade Iraq and break it in three parts. Three regional areas, and that's already happened. So this is part of a larger strategic plan, and it's classical tyranny. It's classical colonialism. The Ottomans got kicked out after World War One. The Nazis, the British, fought over North Africa and the Middle East. The British got control over it after World War II, and Israel came in and kicked the British out and set up Israel, and now we're in the middle of it today. That's what happened here, and it is just a real shame that so many people are dying. Thousands and thousands of injured Palestinians and well over 700 dead. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We have a news report that Kurt Nemo wrote up on the featured stories section of Infowars.com. If you'd like to read along, it has links. The TV programs Pat Robertson has done to his own CBN show where he says he likes Obama, he thinks he's a good guy, he supports him. So that shows you the power structure even when, quote, Christian conservatives' main leader comes out and starts saying, hey, I like Obama. Now, on the heels of that, every year, the day after the new year, the first day of the year, he claims that he gets messages from God. And that was that we were going to have rebellion and riots in the streets and nukes going off in 2008. That didn't happen. Most of his predictions end up being wrong. It's really propaganda. But if you analyze what he said this year, and we're analyzing it here today, part of it, it's lengthy. Pat Robertson comes out and he says, the economy is going to get better in 2009. And he says it's basically going to happen because Obama is going to bring in socialism and Americans are going to embrace it and that it's going to lessen their pain. So he's doing this in lawyer speak, kind of like he said it in lawyer speak, what, back in 2001 when he said, well, China's got really aggressive Planned Parenthood and even some forced abortions. He said it on CNN, Larry King Live. But he said, you know, China's doing what it has to do, and they need more aggressive family planning. Now, I even have the Huffington Post this weekend came out about the UN supporting sterilization and forced abortions, and even the liberal Huffington Post is saying this is wrong. But then Pat Robertson is saying it's good because he supports whatever the New World Order is pushing. So now we have the Huffington Post decrying UN population eugenics, but we have Robertson saying it's good, and we have Robertson saying, you know, posing it and phrasing it here that this is what will save you. This will fix things. And then he adds, nothing can stop this. God told him nothing can stand before Obama, this economic restructuring. And then he goes to the talking point of this will be like the New Deal. But this isn't just the New Deal. People building bridges and roads and rest stops and power plants and dams, which was bad enough. It got people into under federal control. This is going to be youth corps and spy corps and a domestic force of 1 million people now being announced again by Rahm Emanuel and the new incoming White House. So it's going to be even worse. And the feds are talking about taking over failing newspapers and having them be federal. And they're talking about just all of this and a $700 billion payoff to corporations, select corporations to go along with all this. So he's laying all this out like it's a good idea, that it's going to ease your pain and things are going to get better under this and you can't stop it. That's what he says in this. You can go read the transcript carefully at InfoWars.com and then read his other quotes from separate TV appearances where he says he likes Obama and Obama's good and he wants to, you know, work with him. He's also running TV ads with Al Sharpton saying global warming's real, climate change is real, we need these global taxes, which is the economic takeover of the bankers. So let's go ahead and go to this clip here on screen. Pat Robertson last week, first day of the new year, laying out his predictions.
So here are some of the things that I feel are going to be happening in 2009. The Lord said the economy of your nation will recover. The steps taken will lead to a dramatic increase in the power of government. The people will welcome socialism in order to relieve their pain. Nothing will stand in the way of a plan by Obama to restructure the economy in the same fashion as the New Deal in the 30s. America will never again have the power in the world that it has enjoyed since World War II. With no strong leadership, dangerous dictators will arise in various parts of the world that will threaten the peace and security of millions of people. Russia will be the most dangerous and will lead the coalition to control the Middle East. Israel is entering a period of extreme crisis. A strong government that deals forcefully with the Palestinians will bring international condemnation and sanctions against Israel. But the Lord will uphold his people despite world opinion. The hold of Islam is weakening. The violence and bloodshed has turned many against this religion of hate. And the Lord said, expand your outreach to Muslims. They are ready to listen. Great and cataclysmic things will become commonplace around the world. Poverty and misery will be widespread. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a more propitious time for the gospel. People by the tens of millions will be seeking answers. They will gladly receive the forgiveness
okay,
of sins
enough.
That was...
Yeah, but what gospel is it? Pat... You always talk about some Muslim nations. There's only a few of them where they don't allow Christianity to be taught. Saudi Arabia, our ally. But then they attack all the Muslim nations where Christianity flourishes. But then in Israel, Christianity is illegal to teach. I mean, why won't you ever talk? And I'm not even here attacking Israel. I'm just stating the facts. And then he goes through the power of government will grow, but it will fix the economy. Nothing will stand in its way. Russia is the big great evil. And obviously any big nation is under wicked control. That's the nature of government. But it wasn't Russia that snuck attacked Georgia. It was U.S. globalist-backed Georgia that attacked them on 888 last year. So they are really insulting everybody's intelligence here. And they talk about, you know, Israel being internationally condemned. And this clearly is Obama's unpopular stance in the new year because he will have to comment on what's happening. And notice how the attacks were launched when Bush is outgoing, when it's during the holidays, the attacks were launched Christmas Eve, when people are diverted and distracted. Notice how this is all happening in the in-between time, and then Obama won't comment on it. And then there's a story about what's happening in the London Guardian over in Gaza today. And the story is titled, Obama is losing a battle he doesn't know he's in. Oh, yeah, he doesn't know this is all unpopular. The president-elect's silence on Gaza crisis is undermining his reputation in the Middle East, and it goes on to say in Europe. Well, of course he knows this. This is one of the unpopular things. And we have India and Pakistan massing troops threatening to attack each other. We had those staged events 3 or 4 weeks ago in Mumbai, formerly Bombay. We have all of this going on. Also, they're announcing a gas tax hike they want. They're announcing moves for new federal taxes. They're announcing windfall profits on retirement investments. So that means taxing pension funds and 401ks, what the congressional committees have been recommending the last month. That's also part of the unpopularity. They've had Rahm Emanuel and others running around on TV again saying, yes, it's going to be compulsory service, 18 to 24, in a new domestic military, but that you won't have to go overseas, and that it's not a draft, but you have to do it. Which is more doublespeak. It's not a draft, but you're going to boot camp. I think I want to play that clip that we played last night on radio only. I want to dig that up later in the hour and get to that. Okay. Oh, I had a caller from Chile that hung up. Rob in Chile, call back, and I'll definitely get to you before our next guest comes on, 800-259-9231. I'm trying to get to your calls, but there's just so much news that has to be covered. I'm trying to be more disciplined here on the show. But, Rob, call us back. I'm going to go to Mike and Sherry and Jen and Stuart and Rob and everybody else. But I really want to hear from folks outside of the United States and other parts of the world. That's always so interesting to get their take on what's happening. Okay, briefly, in the time we've got left in this segment, this is a totally separate area. Most of the UFO reports that we see being hyped by NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Larry King Live, like UFOs are landing, they're real, aliens are real. Why is the mainstream media behaving like all this is real? Well, we know there's a declassified government plan, Project Bluebeam, that's on the books, we don't know if they'll ever do it, to claim aliens have invaded to unify a world government. They have other programs with big holograms they can project that are declassified to show Buddha, Allah, Jesus, or anything else they want. You know, we're talking 2,000, 3,000 foot tall holograms that they can project to freak people out. And I ask, why is the mainstream media now hyping UFOs and aliens and saying it's real? Now, there are scores of these press reports, and in most of them, they don't even say it's probably a blimp. These giant, you know, 2-3 football field long cigar shaped things. They don't even say that it's a blimp or that it could be a blimp. They just say UFO. What is it? Well, I meant to pull this up for the show. One of you Google this because I forgot to do it. Google Homeland Security blimps or Homeland Security to use blimps to protect U.S., something like that. It's actually in my film, Martial Law. They announced giant high altitude, between 80,000 and 100 plus thousand feet, robot blimps that are computer controlled with solar panels on them that charge batteries with these big propellers. And up there, there's not a lot of wind, so it's very easy for them to stay very still. And that they're going to have ground-penetrating radar looking through your houses, incredible optics, even better than satellites, watching and surveilling the American people under Homeland Security. And then now these blimps are arriving. I mean, I remember CNN. There's a CNN article where you can see D.C. with the monument and the big surveillance blimp for Homeland Security, and it's the same blimp. Now suddenly the news says, no, it's not blimps. It's not Homeland Security. We don't know what it is. And the FAA comes out and says, hey, this isn't the government. We don't pick it up on radar. We're going out of break here, but just so people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv during the break have a chance to see what we're seeing. Without audio, start playing that particular ABC newscast and then some of the amateur video, and you can see it. You see the propellers, you can see the blisters of surveillance equipment. It's a silver blimp, but they go, no, that's not a Homeland Security blimp, that's a UFO. And then the public goes, okay, well, it's aliens then. So we're analyzing this propaganda right now, so stay with us. You look at the blimp, we'll come back and talk about it when we get back. All right, if you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, we've been showing the news saying, is this a flying saucer? The government won't tell us. And so because the government won't tell them it's a blimp, they go, okay, it must be aliens. But I pulled up, punch up that MSNBC, the very article I saw 5 years ago from memory. We pulled it up. We Googled Homeland Security blimps. It's Washington, D.C. with a blimp above it, admitting that they're going to surveil the public with the blimp. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. There it is. Eyes in the sky for Homeland Security. From blimps to do-it-yourself unmanned vehicles, a trend takes flight. And they say they're going to tether these blimps all over the United States. Some will be tethered. Others will be super high-altitude drones, and that's the ones the larger ones you're seeing. And then the public looks at it. You can see the fins, the surveillance blisters of equipment. This is what's watching us, controlling us. It is doing face scans. That's the Bob Woodward super technology he's talking about, where it even knows your shadow and how you walk biometrically. It's just incredible. Go ahead and play a little bit of that ABC News report where they're like, what is it? We don't know. Who knows what it is? And then we'll go to the caller from Chile. Here it is.
What's hovering over Salt Lake City? Is it a rocket, a blimp, a UFO? A strange object seen in the skies has residents scratching their heads.
It's a blimp!
The craft floated overhead for several minutes before disappearing. Salt Lake air traffic controllers said their radar didn't pick up anything, and they have no knowledge of the craft.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. I mean, it's clearly a blimp, but because the government won't tell us, because the government lied to us and said that they don't see it, then we don't see it. It must be aliens, because the government wouldn't lie. I mean, and then this is all over the news every day. These things are seen all over Texas, all over the country, and it's the cigar-shaped craft. It's the aliens. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a blimp. Bring it over here in the timeline where you can see even the back end of it. I mean, it is so clear. So clear that it's a blimp. And while we're looking at the blimp, let's go to Rob in Chile. Hey, Rob, thanks for tuning in from Chile. Go ahead, Rob. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. What are you doing down in Chile?
Well, my goal is to be a YouTube journalist to document what is happening down here, because Hugo Chavez is not a bad man. Not at all. And I know that I heard you interview Dr. William Pepper, and he told you that he's a good man.
Well, are you in Venezuela or are you in Chile?
No, right now I'm in Chile, but my goal is to be in Venezuela. I came here for a girlfriend, unfortunately, but I was in Denmark. I am an info warrior, and I was doing PowerPoint presentations, you know, with video and everything in Denmark, and then they closed my school, a school that started in 1869. They closed it. I mean, it's just an amazing thing.
Hugo Chavez is shutting down some media. He is grabbing, some corporations, some gold mines now, and I do think he's a little bit out of control. Compared to, like, Stalin, he's not bad, but, to me, it's got... Hold on. People always see this as good or bad. No. I mean, I see governments generally as being corrupt historically. You've got the corrupt New World Order that's the big monster, and you've got Chavez, who might have started out okay, but he's been doing some stuff I don't like, but I don't think he should be assassinated like Pat Robertson says.
Yeah, well, Pat Robertson is pleased as punch that Barack Obama is going to be the next president.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to warmonger and everything else and get left cover and steal lots of Treasury money to give it to select bankers as corporate welfare.
I want to tell you one story. I teach English, and I was going to a place taking what they call a colectivo, a little car that takes about four people. And I'm sitting there with this woman who is very obviously poor. And, well, the mode of transportation is for poor people generally. And she asked me where I was from. I told her from the States. Of course, all of this is in Spanish. And, you know, she's clearly very poor, and she's missing teeth and everything. And I tell her that she asked me if I'm for Obama or McCain. And I say, oh, I'm beyond all of that. You know, I left the States many years ago because of frustration.
And what did she say? And we're almost out of time.
She said, do you know Alex Jones? And it just blew me away, just completely blew my mind. I said, yes, I do. You know Alex Jones? And she even knew that Prescott Bush was born in Columbus, Ohio, which is where I was born. And, I mean, that just blew my mind. So the word is getting out. I have no idea, because she didn't speak any English. So how she managed to do this, I don't know. But the word is spreading down here.
All right. God bless you. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I don't really toot our horn enough, because it kind of freaks me out, folks. We're reaching millions of new people a week conservatively. I mean, praise God, we're having a huge effect here. And it's getting a little bit scary, because a lot of people are paying attention, and I'm trying to up our game to be as accurate and as focused as possible. We're here live Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's retransmitted on AM and FM stations, global shortwave throughout the day and evening, morning. And, of course, always pumping out the truth with over 120,000 people a day downloading the free podcast and growing by about 5,000 a week at Infowars.com. Then it's copied to YouTube, Google, videos all over the world. People put images to the radio show. We're trying to step it up, help everybody by putting our own images over the radio show for the visual folks. People are taking the videos and translating them into Spanish, German, into French, into Chinese, into Japanese. Very, very exciting. I want to thank all those out there. It's a team effort in the info war to see the big picture, the larger paradigm. We're going to go to just an amazing guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock, for the balance of the show today and open the phones up coming up in the next hour. You can pretty much get into any issue. I know some of you have been holding a while, but mainly we're talking about Alzheimer's, all these brain diseases that 35, 40-year-olds are getting now, what fluoride does, what the aspartame and other excitotoxins like MSG are doing with our guest. We're going to in just one moment. Before I do that, I want to tell you who makes this radio show possible. And all the sponsors you hear me endorse are the sponsors I believe in. The network has some of its own, and they're all fine and dandy. But these are the ones I've researched, I believe in, that I'm pushing. And eFoodsDirect.com, the J. Michael Stevens Group, is the best price, the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. They ship quickly. It's non-GMO food. Everything but the bananas is grown right here in the United States. And it's just the highest quality, lasts more than 10 years in climate-controlled, 10 years in non-climate-controlled, like your garage or attic. And this is where I've gotten my storable foods. That's why I went out and approached them about being sponsors, because I bought from other companies and I ended up testing it out, and I like theirs the best. And their toll-free number to call and get a free brochure, a free audio CD, or to learn more is 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. If you forget the website or the phone number, which again is 800-409-5633, you can go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and there's big fat banners there. And going into these uncertain times, more than ever, people need to be prepared and need to protect themselves and be self-sufficient with water filters, firearms, gold and silver, and, of course, have good friends and family to work with in what looks like it's going to be a global depression orchestrated by the private central banks to bring in their world government. So eFoodsDirect.com, we salute them and thank them for making this broadcast possible. Also, another sponsor that goes well with preparedness is ecolablue.com. Ecola Blue is the best water generator, and we looked at a whole bunch of them. Not just the best quality, but the best price. And then it goes through five filters and two sub-filters, so a total of seven, after it grabs the water out of the air. It can be in your house, your office, your back porch. In the average weather, average humidity, it gets about 7.5 gallons. Even in the driest deserts, more than 3 gallons. There's water everywhere. In the air we breathe, in the air that's all around us. That's what clouds are. And EcolaBlue.com, ECOLOBlue.com, atmospheric water generator for your home. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. EcolaBlue.com or 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. And one more plug here. Remember, everybody's hurting in this economy, and I know you're hurting in this economy, but for us to continue at the level we're at, or hopefully expand in this fight against the globalists to educate our fellow public worldwide, I can think of no better place to support than Infowars.com and this radio show / TV show. And you support us by getting the books and videos from the secure online shopping cart at Infowars.com. But you don't just support this show to keep getting the word out. You get powerful films and books and materials on every issue you can imagine. And not just the 20-plus films I've made, but all the other books and videos that we carry, check them out at Infowars.com. We're carrying The World According to Monsanto, which then has a bonus film on RBGH, growth hormone in milk, and a free audio CD, all for $19.95. This is an award-winning film. I mean, this is better than Discovery Channel quality. We have it discounted at Infowars.com. Books like The Resistance Manifesto, True Christian Conservatism with Hardcore Info from Mark Dice. We have that. Fabled Enemies, What Really Happened on 9/11, Jason Burmes' newest film that I produced. This film, 3.5 hours long, 1995, The Money Masters. You want to have a master's degree on who rules the planet and who our real enemy is? You need this film, Infowars.com. And a lot of other books and videos. You can also call toll-free, 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. So please also support us there. And for a few more weeks, then we're cutting it off. We have the New Year's special, extending the Christmas special, 5+ months free right now at prisonplanet.tv to get the live feed, all my films in super high quality online, burn them to disc, DVD, give them to people. Thousands of special TV reports I've done going back almost 5 years. In April will be 5 years of PrisonPlanet.tv. And also want to thank all the members of PrisonPlanet.tv for making this radio show and everything we do here possible. And so we just keep expanding everything that PrisonPlanet.tv offers. And we're about to redesign the site the next month. It'll have all the thousands of pieces of media indexed better. Some of the older films that were put in there years ago in lower quality, we're going to upload those in the highest quality. All the new stuff's in super high quality. We're really going to upgrade it, and it's going to be a system where you can post comments and a lot more at prisonplanet.tv. So we just keep improving that. We appreciate all of you supporting us. That said, I really appreciate him joining us for the next hour and 20-something minutes. Dr. Russell Blaylock is a board-certified neurosurgeon, author, and lecturer. He attended the LSU School of Medicine in New Orleans and completed his general surgical internship and neurosurgical residency at the Medical Center of South Carolina in Charleston. During his residency, he ran the neurology program for a year and did a fellowship in neurosurgery after his residency. For the past 25 years, he has practiced neurosurgery. In addition to having nutritional practice, he recently retired from both practices to devote full time to nutritional studies and research. During his research training, he worked with the eminent neurosurgeon, Dr. Ludwig Kempe. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Together, they developed the colosal removal of intravascular tumors, which is still used today. Dr. Blaylock presented these cases utilizing the technique to the Congress of Neurosurgical Surgeons. Folks, it goes on for page after page. He's one of the top now retired brain surgeons in the world, and he's done a lot of studies and reads every day, all the other major studies about what these toxins in our environment are doing and ways to ingest all those. I have a lot of questions today. You know, there's a video making the rounds on YouTube, a little 3-minute rant I did, where this caller calls in and can't talk. And he's saying I'm a liar about the U.S. bringing Nazis in. And I said, but it's all over the news. And folks have put articles about that, you know, up over me talking. And I make the point, I say, sir, depending on the studies, 15 to 30% brain size reduction not being breastfed. And he got real mad about that. But I mean, that's just one other little area. I mean, there's so much I want to talk to him about, and I'm very thankful for him joining us. And Dr. Blaylock, it's good to have you here with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being on your program.
You bet. Thank you for sitting through my plugs. Out of the gates, tell folks about your books, your videos, your materials, your websites here at the very start of the show for people that want to learn more.
Well, my website is www.russellblaylockmd.com. That's R-U-S-S-E-L-L. BLAYLOCKMD.com. And it has a section of free information. It's, you know, I write papers about anything from mercury toxicity, vaccines, cholesterol nonsense. And I have a paper on regimentation in medicine and the death of creativity, which people would be interested in if they're interested in the effect of collectivism on medicine. And I have some DVDs on nutrition and behavior, which talks about the effects of nutrition on how people think, as well as criminality, suicide risk, all of these things that we're hearing in the news today about our young people being uncontrollable, and the direct connection to diet and what you could do about it is discussed on this DVD. I have a newsletter that's published through Newsmax.com, the Blaylock Wellness Report, which is a monthly report. I update all the things on nutrition. And I have several books. Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills was the original book, and it's about MSG and aspartame toxicity to the brain and nervous system. And then a general nutrition book is more recent. It's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which is covers all sorts of subjects, vaccination, fluoride, mercury toxicity, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, a lot of different subjects, and it's very comprehensive. The third book is Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, in which I reviewed a world of studies on nutrition and cancer suppression. goes through how to not only use it primarily to treat cancers of various kinds, but also how it enhances the effectiveness of what's considered traditional cancer treatment and makes them less toxic. These are two recent books, the last two. The excitotoxin book was updated in 1997, I think it was.
And it's all available at your website that we have up on screen for everybody watching at prisonplanet.tv. You know, just while you were talking there for a minute or two, Obama, the major changes, if they haven't taken over medicine already, now they're openly announcing it. I want to get into what SSRIs, just the toxicity alone, is doing, admitting that it causes suicide. I want to get into the youth that you mentioned. I want to get into the numbers we see with cancer being way up, why allergies are way up and people that have never had them. Your take on the genetically modified organisms creating all these new proteins and things that are, according to scientists we've interviewed, that are causing so many problems. I want to get into just kind of a laundry list covering a lot of subjects, what some of the more dangerous things are in foods we want to avoid, the excitotoxins, not just aspartame and things like MSG, but some of the other things that are out there. Where would you like to start first, Doctor?
Well, I think what I need to probably start with is discussion of how we came to what we call orthodox medicine in the United States, because this is a source of great confusion. People are now inundated with the idea of whether it's orthodox medicine, which is what we traditionally think of medicine and accepted, and then we have people working outside of orthodox medicine, which is sort of frowned on. That's the people doing nutrition, vitamins, minerals, herb uses, etc. You need to kind of understand, well, who created orthodox medicine? Where did that come from? Well, it actually came from the Rockefeller Foundation back in 1901. The Rockefellers at the time, their family, because of the Standard Oil scandals, no one wanted to be called a Rockefeller. Everybody hated all the Rockefellers. So his friend, Reverend Gates, went to John D. Rockefeller Sr. and told him, said, well, here's a way we can repair your reputation. And he gave him a good example. There was this man who everybody hated, just like, you know, they were hating you. And he started giving money out for all sorts of philanthropic enterprise. And soon people forgot all of the bad things. All they remembered was this philanthropy that he was pouring out. And he said, that's what we need to do with you. And so the first thing, because Gates' father was a physician and John D. Rockefeller's father was a quack snake oil salesman, he said, let's form the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research. And so they created this in 1901. And so Rockefeller owned what was called the Drug Trust. That's the major drug manufacturing firms all over the world, Merck, Pharmaceutical, Letterly. All of these forms, pharmaceutical companies.
Because the Rockefellers understood taking over an entire industry and controlling the education system is the key to dominating societies. These are monopoly men.
Right, and he also made himself a lot of money, and that's just what Gates pointed out to him. Not only can we present this as philanthropy, but by promoting only drugs and the treatments that you promote as being so-called orthodox, that'll feed back into the companies that you own. And, of course, what he did, he didn't always directly own companies. He would buy enough shares so he controlled them.
Yeah, it's very simple for people that don't understand what you're saying. This is all part of the mainline history. It isn't taught in the mainline textbooks, but it is there for those that want to know. They took over the education system in medicine to then direct the course of it into their own companies.
Right, and the way he took over the medical education system at the time, he hired a person called Abraham Flexner, and he told him, what we need to do is have you study the medical schools in the United States and write a critique of it. The aim was to remove all nutrition references to nutritional type treatments from the medical schools. So they closed down half the medical schools in the United States. There were 165 medical schools at the time. Well, he closed half of them. Then he had his anointed medical schools, which he poured his money into, appointed the professors from his own stock of professors, And so they created an educational system that taught the things that he wanted taught. And therefore, every professor that came out of those programs taught the same thing. So you established an orthodox training system where everybody was saying the same thing.
Yeah, they call it now standardization, just right. Like international bodies fund every county and city and fly around the city managers and social planners, where now all the zoning's the same, or the schools are the same, or the anti-gun message is the same, or the anti-sovereignty message. Everything is standardized, so this all goes back to them doing this with banking and then medicine and then energy. Please continue.
Right, and if you look at the history of it, it all stemmed from Rockefeller. He did this in all of those segments that you discussed, including the municipalities and the cities and villages, so that he controlled their governments as well. Well, he now has absolute control of all of medical care in the United States, as well as it moved out into the world. He made it international.
And then when they have control of medicine, they can cover up by compartmentalizing and you know, giving false data to the doctors who are compartmentalized and scientists. They can cover up their eugenics program to make sure that real doctors and scientists don't ever discover it, correct?
Right, and the thing is, Lily Kay wrote a book on this. It's the history of molecular medicine and the connection to Rockefeller Foundation and Caltech. It's a very in-depth history of it. She's a professor of history, very well qualified, and it's a very highly acclaimed history of molecular medicine and molecular biology. But in it, she makes the point that the Rockefeller Foundation created molecular biology with the aim of human engineering and social control, and that his goal was to eliminate people in the world who he felt was unfit for life, and to change the minds and the thinking of people by using molecular biology.
And then he pioneered the funding with the British of mind war. That's what Hitler called it, or propaganda.
Right. He turned it international in 1950. What he did, he turned the domestic program over to Ford Foundation, and then he went international, mainly concentrating in Britain with their program of psychological warfare and psychological changing of thinking and mind.
And, Doctor, I want to point something out. You and I didn't talk before the interview. We're not scripting this. You know, I bring up that it then moved to Britain, and you continue with the documentation. Why? I don't come in and throw in little tidbits to show off that I know what's going on. I do that to show we're both saying the same thing because we've read the same mainline history. This is what's really going on. They're poisoning you by design. We're going to get to that. Dr. Russell Blaylock is our guest, an amazing individual. We're so honored to have him with us. We're going to come back and continue with What Rules Our World. Stay with us. I want everybody out there watching to listen to me very carefully. Everything Dr. Blaylock, neurosurgeon, researcher, lecturer, peer-reviewed publisher, is telling you is on the historical record. The eugenicists developed their plans in the 1850s. They took them into governmental control by the 1930s. They implemented it. The Nazis were just a spinoff of that. That's why all this is happening. That's why the poisoning of the population is happening. And they've got one comeback to all this. They say, well, population, you know, we're living longer in the United States. Well, that's not true. Infant mortality is way down. So if you take out infant mortality, old numbers, when what on average, depending on the decade, but going back 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago, 30, 40% of children would die by the age of five. If you take those numbers out, we aren't living as long. Look at Russia. They're living to like 52 now. This is going on by design by the social planners. Dr. Blaylock, please continue. You had gotten to 1950. They go totally international with it. Please continue.
Well, they, as I said, they turned over the domestic behavioral sciences to the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and its Carnegie Corporate Foundation. Turn their attention to the international arena to promote this social engineering with Rockefeller 1920 coined the science of man. Basically, it was eugenic because he was funding the majority of the eugenic organizations in the world in the 1910-1920 period. Well, the Ford Foundation essentially is controlled by Rockefeller Foundation. Virtually all the major foundations are controlled by the Rockefeller Foundation. The way they did that is they had their people put in as trustees of these other foundations, and eventually they took over control. So by interlocking, most of the major foundations, now the Bill Gates Foundation, is directly and indirectly controlled by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Well, now let me bring up the sources on that. The church hearings in Congress, as you know, in the 70s, went into the interlocking directorates and the different foundations. And another way the Rockefellers, by controlling government, if they didn't like a foundation or they didn't play ball, they could sick regulators on them to selectively enforce rules to break them up or bring them under Rockefeller-allied control. Go ahead.
Right, and by regulating and controlling most of the major foundations, then they could have block grants, which they did. They directed their projects together toward a certain type of research. For instance, they were very interested in behaviorism, which is psychological control in human engineering, psychobiology. So by using that mass block of money, the other foundations were just very small and of no consequence. But they train these physicians in the United States by targeting certain institutions, for instance, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Duke University, University of Wisconsin, were targeted to be their institutions, Caltech. And so they filled it with their people, with their agenda, their social planning agenda and social control agenda. And these people eventually became professors as well, or sent their students as professors in the foreign countries. So it's over the period of time since 1901, they've essentially taken over most of the major universities throughout the world through this interlocking directorate. Now, to show how much money these people have, they did something that was even more powerful, and that is they made sure their people became the advisors for the government when the government was giving out money for these things, because the psychological program funding by the federal government far exceeded the foundations in the 1950s and 60s, but it was the foundations that controlled the various governmental groups that were dispensing the money. So essentially they controlled the government money, which is tax money.
All right, stay there, Doctor. Only a one-minute break. Come right back to you as we start the fourth and final hour. We're live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Our guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock. I'm going to put his website up on the screen for you here in a moment. Is giving you the basic crash course in brain surgery and understanding how our society is governed, how the map makers of the mind are controlling our society. Then we're going to go into what they're building, the eugenics operation, the population reduction operation they're carrying out against you and your family, whether you're an FBI agent, a police officer, a bureaucrat. And we're going to get into some of the specific toxins and poisons that have been introduced into our environment. This is a quick segment. We're going to come back in the long segment coming up in the about 5 minutes. But let's continue with Dr. Blaylock. Dr. Blaylock, please continue.
And continuing this line of their obsession with this science of changing the human behavior and what we call eventually behaviorism in the 1948-50 period. For instance, in 1928 at Caltech, they had a biology division. That's where Rockefeller first was funneling his money to create this science of man idea. And it was focused on eugenics, according to Dr. May. And she said that one of the professors there, Ezra Gosney, was in fact a leader in the eugenic movement. He was in the American Eugenics Society, the American Social Hygiene Society, Eugenics Research Association, and the Human Betterment Society, which was heavily funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. And they mailed out tens of thousands of brochures to doctors, teachers, social workers, physicians, university publishers, all these different organizations to make sure that these ideas were in the minds of the American public and acceptable. And just to give you an idea of one of the things that this Dr. Gosney wrote in Scientific American 1934, he was urging his readers to embrace Adolf Lorenz, professor of sociology in Vienna, with the idea that sterilization of the unfit would eventually reach all civilized countries as a means, quote, of getting rid of the scum of humanity. So this was a person who was in the Rockefeller Foundation. He was appointed as a professor of this new biology program, molecular biology program at Caltech, and he had a tremendous influence in training of professors that were teaching other biologists and eventually physicians as well. And just to give you some of the quotes she gives in the book to show you that this is not just something I'm pulling out of thin air, in her book she says in 1920s Rockefeller conceived the idea of the science of man agenda, and she says, quote, the motivation behind the enormous investment was to develop human sciences as a comprehensive and applied framework of social control grounded in natural, medical, and social sciences. Its aim was toward human engineering. The conjunction of cognitive and social goals had a strong historical connection to eugenics. So, you know, you can't make it any plainer. There's just quote after quote through the book in which she keeps saying over and over, his entire plan for this funding was not benevolent. It was to control human beings in the way they would think, to control human thought, and to get rid of people that he considered undesirable. Well, he had all the money at his disposal from Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial, the Ford Foundation. So he had a massive amount of foundation money. In addition, as being advisors to the federal government, all of the money that the government was spending in these areas, which was much greater than even the foundations, was controlled by the foundations itself. So eventually today, they have the wealth of the entire world at their disposal to carry out these programs. We're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars over this planet to promote, and she even mentioned the New World Order, which you said they helped design with the Council on Foreign Relations. So all of these things are well documented. It's not just something that you or I are making up like this.
And, Doctor, it's horrifying. We've got a break. Quick break. Long segment coming up, sir. And it's just horrifying. This is Planet Eugenics.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
This is your life we're talking about here. This is the medical institutions, the colleges, the cities, the counties, all social engineering. Now the banks, by design, their own documents, we've covered here at nauseam, are imploding the economy by design to where you literally have to have a government job or work for a company being financed by the internationalist. Dr. Russell Blaylock is our guest, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to open the phones up at 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Dr. Blaylock, we're continuing with the history here. I want to get into now what they're setting up, what their master plan is from your deep research, what their goal is. Because studying the world, studying history, you know, doing this radio show, it's been quite a journey for myself in 13 years, because all of us that do research, whether they're a neuro, you know, top brain surgeon like yourself, or a member of Congress like Ron Paul, or we come to the same conclusion separately. This is the stated goal, and I see just a microcosm example. A few years ago, it's in my film Endgame, the legislature was having hearings about why so many foster children were dying, why they were grabbing hundreds of thousands of children, a million point four nationwide every year, why 67% of children nationwide and in Texas, the state average was the same as the national average here, of 67% put on psychotropic drugs, and the head of the psychiatry department, Association of Texas, got up and said, well, they have bad gene pools, so that's why we're doing this to these children. And you run into any of these guys, and I've been to a lot of events, and they'll go, yeah, we're getting rid of people. Humans are a disease. We're a parasite, and we, the elite, are getting rid of them. And I tell the story, my mother one time was riding with my father and myself when they were visiting me, and they'd come into the office and seen part of Endgame a year and a half ago being finished, And my mother said, son, I know you tell the truth about all this stuff, and she's got a degree in history, but she said, I can't believe they really want to kill 80% of us. And my dad had never told the story, and he goes, and you know, he was a top student in high school and then went on. This is when he was still in high school, was taken to UT as part of this Academy of Sciences, and they tested thousands of kids, and he was down to the top six, and they took him aside and said, we want to send you to you know, one of these top schools. We want you to be part of the New World Order. We're going to carry out eugenics, the public. You know, we've got to get rid of the majority of the population. And my dad got out of it at that point because, you know, he was well-read in history. He said, this is really sick. And he thought of the Nazis, but he never told us that. And then I talked to other professionals. They are recruiting the creme de la creme of society, as you just said earlier, into this since the 30s in the Western world. Please continue.
Right. And if you go into the New World Order, she even makes this statement. She said, in December 1946, the Special Committee launched its new policy, accommodating its work for a new world order, efforts toward internationalism. In other words, they were internationalizing this eugenics program. Now, she says in 1945, because of the Holocaust and the bad publicity that was spreading over the world of social planning and eugenics, they immediately told all of their people to get all of the references in our writings to social control, social planning, and eugenics out of it. We'll just change the names so people won't recognize it. Now, she says this in her book, and she's a major MIT Johns Hopkins trained historian who's
crypto eugenics. They overnight changed all the names.
Right. Selectively went out and removed all of these names, so then their publications sounded very high.
Getting rid of the infirm became the bioethicist movement.
Just right.
On and on and on.
Exactly. And, of course, one of the most powerful of all the associations is the Social Sciences Research Council, which Rockefeller formed back in, I think, 1904, 1907, something like that. And now it is an enormously powerful organization that has a number. It has something like, I think in 1950, it had 16 different foundations supporting it, all of them Rockefeller connected. So they were pouring massive money into it, and it virtually controlled the entire social sciences research, not just in this country, but all over the world.
And they're, meanwhile, were scouting for all the new brains to make sure that the brain trust was under their control.
Exactly. And by controlling education and controlling the media, they made sure that people all conformed to this way of thinking. Now, here's the way they controlled the people who were dissidents in the intellectual world, people in that were professors in the universities that didn't want to go along with
that. They cut their funding off.
Well, they would cut their funding off, make sure they never got a research grant. If they were not tenured, they made sure they were fired. What they also did to elevate their people to the highest rung of being experts in the world is they would give them huge grants so they no longer had to bother with teaching students.
And they would publish their books.
Writing.
And they would publish their books and make them rock stars
right.
in the media.
And they reviewed their books in the journals that they controlled because one of the things they did went out and controlled all the journals. And so that then their people's books were reviewed with high praise. Any person who was a nonconformist, their book was either not reviewed or given poor reviews. And so when experts were asked for in a certain subject for the federal government, they went to the foundation's experts. They go to the CFR, they go to the SSRC for an expert. And so, oh, yes, we have experts in that area. We have experts in population control. We have experts in any subject that you want. And, of course, it's all their people with all their philosophy. And as you say, a lot of this population control is buried in language for the general public not to recognize. When we
and now we're living in really 100 years of this, 70-plus intensely. You know, continue with closing that gap from the 60s on into today and what the master plan is, Dr. Blaylock, from your deep research.
Well, the plan is they want to get rid of most of the population because what they realize is with technological advances, we're not going to need all these workers. I mean, if you look at some of the modern plants, I've been in some of the big plants, and you look at them and there's a room the size of three or four football fields, and there's a couple of dozen people working there, because everything else is robotic and electronic and technologically controlled.
So, and that's like Bill Joy. That's like Bill Joy whenever he went back in 99 to a big technology conference, and he's worth $4 billion, co-owner of Sun Microsystems, and he came back and wrote an article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, in Wired Magazine, and he said, look, I met with the elite. They're planning to kill everybody.
Well, they don't need them, and the other thing that you read...
That's what he said. He said they don't need them because of the robotics.
Well, the thing that you also realize when you read in the literature is they're scared of them, because now you have a large segment of your population that's unemployed. They become restless, and then they're a danger to the established order, to the elite. And so the thing that they're trying to do is reduce the population size
to manage
through various measures like birth control, abortion, you know, all of these different methods, the soft methods to get rid of people. And then, of course, they're using over-vaccination, fluoride, mercury, all of these other things that increase mortality. They're keeping treatments out of the medical world that could save a lot of lives, improve health, because they want people to die off that are not in the elite group. Now, if you look back at the French Revolution, a lot of people don't know this. In the French Revolution, one of the ideas was to kill most of the population of France. And the idea was that we would have a group of elite, and since we've killed 10 million people in France, the rest of us would have all this land to ourselves, a very small population, and we'd have all the food we need and not these masses to worry about.
This they want to go back to nature and back to neo-feudalism, back to feudalism, hence neo-feudalism, and just to back you up, this all goes back to Malthus in the 1750s. Then you have Galton and others coming out with these very same plans, and that's how. And of course, the elites of the planet, the royalty, love this. This makes perfect sense to them. But you even have these subgroups overthrowing royalty, trying to go to a 10-day work week. They were trying to overthrow the entire previous order and literally play God.
Right, exactly. And they wrote about it openly back then. You know, now it's more disguised. They changed the language so most people wouldn't really recognize what they were talking about. If you get some of these pamphlets and material from the Social Science Research Council, if you don't know the code words, if you don't know what they're talking about, like sustainability, if you don't understand what that means, it sounds very benign. It sounds very philanthropic, a good thing to do. But if you understand the code words, what they're planning, you realize it's absolute control. It is planning means an elite controls your life. And to put it on a scale that people can understand, all this new move toward eminent domain, where they come in and take a man's business and say, well, for the public good, if we tear down his business and build a high-rise there or shopping center, we'll have a bigger tax base. And so they use eminent domain to take his property. Well, that's central planning. That's social planning.
And their total rationale,
that man doesn't matter.
And their total rationale is social Darwinism. They believe that it's not horrible to kill people or enslave them or inject them with cancer viruses in the vaccines. It is good because they have the right of kings to do whatever they want because they're in the elite position. That is prima facie evidence of their genetic superiority.
That's exactly right. And this is exactly what Dr. Kay says in her history book of molecular biology, that was always their thought. That we're the elite, we're the best gene, and therefore we should do human engineering, the new science of man, so we reduce population to those of us who, number one, you know, have the elite minds, the pure genetics, and then we'll keep a small core of people to do the menial tasks that we don't want to do. And they even wrote about keep these people uneducated because there's no need to educate them. They're going to be doing menial tasks. And, you know, it's interesting reading these things because they were so open about it. And there's quite a few books on social control that are written in the 20s and 30s that openly talk about these.
Edward Bernays and others. Stay there, Dr. Blaylock. Quick break. We're going to come right back to you. This is just so important, and we're so honored to have you here. Folks, I can't think of a more important subject. I hope you're telling your friends and family to tune into this live show and the rebroadcast. This is key. Imagine, folks, Dr. Blaylock, myself, so many other researchers. We know this information. I own close to 50 or so original source government textbooks and foundation textbooks where they say they're going to exterminate us. The United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment in 96, in 89. This is all public. It's just not widely known. This is true. This is real what we're talking about. They want us dead. And they are spraying us, the GMO. You know, there's hundreds of different types of plastics they can make inexpensively. They chose the one formula that releases these toxins, these endocrine disruptors that manipulate our hormone levels. Why did they choose that one type for universal adoption worldwide and sell the factory formulas and machines and systems, sometimes at a loss, to make sure that was implemented in the 50s? Then we see the sperm counts drop. We see the fertility problems. Why do they approve the bovine growth hormone to put in the milk when they know it's linked to cancer and all these problems? Why do they put mercury in vaccines? You know, we've gotten up to the point of their master plan, Dr. Blaylock. This is a short segment. I want to come back in the next long segment and take some calls from Jen and Sherry and Robert and Brad and Dr. Tracy and others that are holding. But there's so many. We talked for 10 hours. I'm going to definitely have you back if you'll grace us with your time to warn people. What do we do about this? I mean, we're here trying to warn folks. This is real. This affects everybody except for a few thousand elitists who even write about how they know they're being hurt by the blowback, but it's okay for the greater work they're doing. I mean, how do we counter this?
Well, it's very difficult because, like I say, they have the entire wealth of the world at their disposal. They essentially control all the media. I mean, back in 1950s, a guy by the name of Manuel Josephson, who was a medical doctor, he wrote a book on Rockefeller, it's quite detailed, very well documented. And he talks about these things in that book as well, how Rockefeller was absolutely obsessed with controlling all information that's available to the public. And the way he did it, even back then, he was spending something like $250 million controlling the media. And by being the major controlling force in literally hundreds, if not thousands, of corporations, all of which advertised in the major media, by 1950s, all the major media was dependent on their advertising dollar. So anything he wanted in the media and anything he didn't want in the media, all he had to do is let them know, well, you would lose your funding if that's discussed.
And a lot of other mainstream media was owned by allies like William Randolph Hearst. Doctor, let's take this tack for a moment and then continue with any other points you had on that first question. There are elitists and wannabe elitists, a lot of these minion professors. And I use the local Austin example of Dr. Eric Pianca. He gives speeches, it's been in the news, where he says we need to kill 90% of the public. And the news, the point is, they get 95% standing ovations. He PowerPoints a huge thing of skulls with a red filter on the wall. This has been on national news. And everybody claps, and the scientists cry. And he goes and speaks to the Royal Academy in England and to the big, you know, Royal Academies and the most prestigious academies in France. I know you've written papers and spoken to some of those big groups as well, but the point is, and the majority of them start crying. This has been in the newspaper because this is their religion. What do you want to say to those people listening? I mean, what would be your counter and your argument to them? I mean, reaching out to them and going, my God, look what you've done. I mean, trying to get them to come over to our side of humanity.
Well, you know, this is the collectivist idea, and we're steeped in collectivism. This was the whole program of virtually every president since the Civil War, is the gradual implementation of collectivism in the United States. And collectivism basically says the individual doesn't matter. What matters is the community. Well, community doesn't really mean a lot. If you listen to communist jargon, they say the people. We speak for the people. Well, this mythological people is nobody. It's whoever's in charge, whoever owns the gun. And so the government owns all the power, and so they speak for the people, they speak for the public. So when you hear them saying, this is for the good of the public, or this is good for the
And then in reality, the eugenicists, the communists, they always kill the people because they hate the people.
Well, they fear the people. You know, historically, if you look at every dictatorship, what eventually happens is they come to fear the people because they know that what they're doing is unpopular and not working, and then they fear a revolution.
Yes.
And this is what happens with collectivism in the United States, is it becomes more and more collective. People recognize the elitist is now what's causing my financial failure, or the leaders are what's causing, you know, whatever bad is
the
happening.
The parasite. Stay there, doctor. Stay there. We got a break. We'll be right back after this quick break with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Stay with us.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we have to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
You have been warned, all of you out there listening. We've given you the documents. I made the film Endgame. Dr. Blaylock's made films, written books. All sourced. Psychopathic control freak killers are in control of our society. They're setting up world government. They're engineering the financial collapse, in their own words, to bring in total control, where every facet of your life will be controlled, where you'll pay carbon taxes for everything you do, where bureaucrats will run your life, youth brigades. The list goes on and on and on and on. You just heard Walter Cronkite talking about at the right hand of Satan. You just heard Henry Kissinger calling for world government. You heard Fox News saying children are bad. This is the program. I want to tell the police and military that serve the New World Order. Most of you don't understand this. You better learn it. You are being poisoned and killed as well. Dr. Blaylock, I want to go to calls. But let's say you had 3 minutes on national TV to address the public about the program, the toxins, the poisons, what's in their food and water, and how to avoid it. If you had 3 minutes to boil it down and warn people, because this will be seen, it's being heard by millions, you know, watched on the web right now by thousands, it'll be seen by millions in the aggregate just in the next few weeks as folks put this interview out everywhere. You've got 3 minutes before we go to calls, sir. What is most important for people to know about how dire this is, how real this is?
Well, what they need to know is that the authorities, the people who are defending these things like vaccination, the thimerosal, the fluoride in the water, they never have a defense against the charges that are being made. They never even attempt to answer these questions. When I challenge these people on vaccination, they won't even appear on radio to challenge me. I did that in Hawaii. We challenged the public health to come on and debate what I had to say. They wouldn't even appear because I know something that the other people talking about vaccines are not talking about, and that is when you vaccinate with these large numbers of vaccine, it activates the brain's special immune system and will destroy the connections in the brain, alter the development of the brain, and this is why we're seeing so many of these brain disorders and learning difficulties in our children. Now, these things are backed up by enormous research, thousands of studies all over the world by independent researchers. It's not that the research is not there and the proof is not there. It's that the media won't carry it. None of the major publications will carry this story. They won't interview you. They don't want to have this exposed. So we're having to use the other outlets, like the Alex Jones Show, and to get this to the public. It's very well documented. If you look at my website, you'll see a lot of references. You read my books. Everything is referenced in the scientific literature. It's all peer-reviewed journals from some of the biggest laboratories in the world. But they don't want you to know these things. People need to wake up and realize you're being fed a lot of propaganda. You're being controlled by propaganda. And this is absolutely proven. The Reese Committee, 1950, federal government investigation, the foundations, prove this beyond the shadow of doubt. You can get that book, The Foundations, The Power and Influence, by Wormser, who was the general counsel for the Reese Committee. It's all proven in there. The control that I'm talking about, the book that I've talked about by Dr. Kay on molecular biology history, it's all documented in there. So the documents are there. People need to quit watching football games all the time and garbage on the television and realize this is a very serious abridgment of our freedom. We're seeing the rise of a world totalitarian government, and if we don't wake up and start doing something now, it's going to be irreversible because, like I say, they have the wealth of the world on their side. They have the media. They have Hollywood. They have publishing firms. They've taken over 100 years to institute this,
but
very carefully.
But the public is finally starting to figure out the basics that they're being lied to. So there's a loss of confidence with Congress. One example with a 9% approval rating. We have to move in now while folks are finally listening and warn them as you're doing. And that's why we salute you. Very well said, Dr. Blaylock. Before we go to these calls, I just want to point out to the military, the police, the bureaucrats, those that enforce this, so many of them I talk to or that email me, they laugh and they say, so what if it's all true? I'm part of the elite. They're all under the same attack. And there's no reason that 99% of the public wouldn't have a stake in fighting back against this. I mean, you know, the final problem is people just have trouble dealing with the magnitude. But this is the nature of our world today, and this is what we're facing. How do you see
it? Well, you know, if they think they're the elite, they need to read the history of the Soviet Union. All the people who were responsible for bringing the Soviet Union to power were killed, all of them. The entire, virtually the entire NKVD in the beginning was wiped out. That's your police. That's the people who were doing the killing initially. They thought they were protected. They were all killed. The head of the NKVD was murdered. So, you know,
same thing with Hitler.
They're fooling themselves.
Same thing with the Nazis.
And then they get rid of them.
Same thing with the Nazis, not the long knives.
Right, because they cannot be trusted. If you read Soviet literature, the first thing they tell you is the revolutionaries that bring this about can't be trusted because when they see they lied to, then they want to revolt, so they have to kill them off or put them in gulag.
Well, what did Caesar do after he got power?
It's throughout all of world history from the very beginning. It's like, as I said when we were talking about totalitarian governments, the first thing that happens, they fear the people. They fear their own special police. So they periodically have a purge. They get rid of them.
Well, if you study special forces, after they've used special forces for dirty deeds all over the world, they always shut them up or put a conviction on them
right,
to discredit them so they can't ever speak out, or they kill them.
Right.
I mean, this is so horrible. Well, God bless you. I want to take some calls here in the final 20 minutes we have left, Dr. Blaylock. But for those that aren't watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, verbally, give folks, again, your website so they can check it out. And hopefully you've got some ways for people to try to protect themselves. I mean, we know they're now spraying us. And we know I've got mainstream news about DARPA and mainstream papers saying they're going to put up towers with ultrasound to soothe the public during crises. Have you seen this research? where they're
admitting. You see, they had this decade of the brain. They are pouring literally billions of dollars into neuroscience research. A lot of it is designed in how to control people's thinking. And if you read Delgado's book, who was a very highly regarded neurophysiologist who did depth electrode studies on the brain, how to control behavior. And in his book, he said the last refuge of the individual is his own mind. And they're after that. They want that last refuge. So your thoughts will no longer be your thoughts. And they're using this massive investment in neuroscience to figure out how to do that. And a lot of these techniques are what they're doing, things to make people apathetic, things to make people... You know, I have a friend of mine who worked for the NSA as a debriefer of Soviet defectors. And he told me about all the different drugs they had discovered that could make you change your entire attitude, where anti-communists would become communists. It would completely reverse everything you believed in. That these drugs existed, and they're even more sophisticated now, and techniques are more sophisticated now. And Delgado said, you know, I no longer have to implant electrodes in people's heads. We can do it at a distance by methods like you were just discussing.
Well, that's right. Back in the 1950s, they had these patented in the U.S. alone, and not to mention what's classified. But the thing I saw like 7 years ago, it was in the Baltimore Sun. They said, oh, DARPA that invented the Internet, they're putting up towers to soothe the public. And it was like a weird test bubble. And then it says, this is out of Spectrum Online, which is a for Tech Insiders, mainline magazine. And it says how great it is that, oh, sound waves for brain waves. And it says they can control the public. And then I have CBS newscast where they say they're going to start doing this to prisoners to reform them. I mean, this is open mind control. The towers are now up, and you tell people this, and they roll their eyes at you.
Well, it's absolutely true. I can tell you, I've spent a lot of time reading neuroscience literature. And these techniques are being developed, and the government is very, very interested in these. And it's being funded by these major foundations.
Unbelievable.
Because this has always been a dream of theirs, is to control human thinking.
Well, the Pentagon says 90% of war is mind war now.
Right.
And folks, I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in a lot of trouble. Let's take some calls. Jen in Georgia, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Blaylock.
Hi. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting really excited. Finally, he took my call. I'm trying to collect my thoughts together. Well, I'm sorry to be a little off topic because I don't have any questions for the doctor now.
Okay, be real quick then. I'm going to move on to some other folks.
I will be real quick. I have a question about the previous guest that was on your show. He was the author who wrote the book about Obama being a postmodern coup.
Now, that's Webster Tarpley.
Yeah, Webster, yeah, him. Well, he said that, well, on previous shows, I don't know exactly what date, he was on the show, and he said that over 40% of the people who voted against Obama voted against fascism, when, in fact, I don't think, if he's referring to the people who voted for John McCain.
Ma'am.
That is not true.
Listen, I appreciate your call. I'm trying to take calls pretty much for the doctor. Let me try to explain something. There's a psychological dictatorship. We're living in a highly controlled, scientifically designed, the elite openly call it the final revolution. Okay, where, in the words of Bertrand Russell, who said they would inject us with mercury to brain damage us at birth, he said a rebellion by the proletariat, the general public, would be as impossible as a rebellion of sheep against the practice of eating mutton or lamb chops. They see us. We're almost at that point where it isn't about Obama. You understand? He's a puppet. McCain's a puppet. We're pointing out that Obama is the heir apparent. Pat Robertson's now endorsing him to fool the people to going along with the next phase of collectivism. Dr. Blaylock?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. You know, everybody looks at the president. The president is an empty suit. He's being manipulated by the foundation. They decide policy. The president doesn't. The Congress doesn't. Nobody in the government really makes any decisions. And if you look at Congress now, they're paralyzed. I talked to Bob Barr privately a couple of years ago. And I asked him, I said, when they stole all these FBI files, is that what's keeping Congress under control? He said, absolutely. He said they have dirt on everybody. They know what everybody's done, and they're all terrified to resist in any way.
And that's what the surveillance state's about. Okay, ma'am, look, it's way past that. Okay, it's way past that. Was that Jen or Sherry I just went to? Okay, I'm sorry. I was calling Jen, Sherry. Now we go to Sherry. I apologize, Sherry. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Dr. Blaylock. Hi. I have a question for you, doctor. Is there any legitimate medical reason why 67% of children in foster care would be on those drugs? Would there be any reason besides total control?
The federal government says it's for eugenics, but I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Blaylock.
Now, on drugs for what?
67% a national average of foster children are on SSRIs.
Oh, yeah, and you know, if you look in the physician's desk reference, it says that children shouldn't be on SSRI, that they induce psychosis, they induce a higher incidence of suicide, homicidal thought pattern. So they know that. The SSRI is a very bad medication, and if the FDA was real, if it was really a regulatory agency, it would have been removed long ago.
And, Doctor, as you know, in the trials of the first big one by Eli Lilly in the early 1980s of the SSRI Prozac, they admitted internally that it caused massive increases in psychopathic breaks, homicide, suicide, but they went ahead and approved it.
The girl hung herself, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is what I talk about in the FEM Nutrition and Behavior, is that most of the things we see in children that have to do with abnormal behavior are due to a poor diet and toxins exposure. And that if you change that, most of these children undergo a radical improvement in their behavior.
And by the way, let me stop you. Even mainline studies that you see in the press occasionally admit that getting them off dyes, getting them off processed sugars, getting them exercise has massive, better numbers than Prozac, which they even show is detrimental. Go ahead.
Well, all this is in the mainline peer-reviewed journals. It's not, from something in alternative medicine. This is in mainline medicine.
Did you see
it's
the latest?
The fact that most physicians don't read this.
Did you
they
see
don't
the latest?
Read the research journals. They're not even aware of this.
Did you see the latest number from 2008 that 100 million prescriptions for SSRIs in 2008 in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. And when Bush had the program where he was going to have all the children examined psychologically and have them placed on medication if they needed it.
New freedom.
I mean, this is absurd. That's not the function of the federal government, to have people psychologically evaluated and placed on medication.
But that's what...
Something as dangerous as SSRI medication.
But that's what the eugenicist Aldous Huxley, whose brother later ran the U.N., Julian Huxley, who became the head of the Eugenics Society and the head of the transhumanist, he said they would drug the public. That's where THX-1138 and Brave New World come from, because that was the plan, and now they've got 100 million people on them.
Sure. I mean, in the book Brave New World, it talked about the drug Soma, and that you would calm people down, and then you'd have another drug to excite them when you wanted them excited, and when you wanted them apathetic, you put them back on the Soma again.
And now they even have an SSRI on the market, Doctor, called Soma.
Absolutely. You know, and his book, Brave New World Revisited, goes into the nonfiction description of all of these things.
Hold on, Doctor. We're going to skip this break for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars.com.
Have you ever thought about what's in
your shampoo? Yeah, I'm going to skip this break, Network. Okay, thank you. Anything else you wanted to add, Sherry, in Texas, to Dr. Blaylock?
No, that was it. Pretty much answer my questions for me. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Robert in California. Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dr. Blaylock, I have a question regarding vaccines. What would you recommend to people who've already taken vaccines, like natural chelation, natural therapy, something along those lines?
Well, if you've taken vaccines that have mercury, I would recommend being tested for mercury.
Right. How about people who can't really afford seeing a doctor or...
Well, the hair testing for most people would be sufficient.
Isn't it very inexpensive comparatively?
It's very inexpensive, and you don't need a doctor's permission to do it. So you can get your hair tested for mercury levels.
So if he does have higher mercury, what does he do?
Well, you know, a lot of things neutralize mercury toxicity in the brain because it's very difficult, and some people think impossible, to remove mercury from the brain once it's in the ionic form. Selenium neutralizes mercury toxicity. Quercetin helps neutralize it. Many of the flavonoids like curcumin. All of these things are available now as supplements.
Right. How about hormones? I know you take several hormones. How about those with, like, low thyroids? What would you recommend?
Well, if you have low thyroid, of course, you need supplementation to bring it back up to normal.
Right.
But removing it, DMSA, you can use it as a very slow removal over a long period of time. Alpha-lipoic acid helps remove mercury from the brain, so does magnesium. Increases mercury removal from the brain. And one of the safest and easiest to do is aged garlic extract.
Right.
Which over a long period of time removes it.
How about liquid zeolites?
Well, I've talked to Boyd Haley. He thinks that's a lot of baloney, but he says it's too large a molecule to get into.
Yeah, look, we're out of time. We're out of time. I appreciate your call, Robert. We're about to come back to the full audience, and I want to plug your website again, Dr. Blaylock. We're just for the internet only right now. I was in a restaurant the other night. I whipped in to get something to eat alone. There were three different groups of people sitting around me. One group was talking about, they were not that old of women, middle-aged, talking about all their health problems. And one group, two other groups, were talking about how they all had thyroid problems. So what is going on with thyroid, and what's causing that?
Well, one of the biggest offenders is fluoride. You know, they used to use fluoride a long time ago to treat hyperthyroidism. Well, of all their glands in the body, the thyroid accumulates the highest concentration of fluoride. It's much higher than any other organ. So it is that it's in the water and you're drinking it every day. You're accumulating a huge amount of fluoride in the thyroid.
We're going back to the full audience. Full audience, here we go. Man, this show has gone by really fast. I've got to have the doctor back up for another hour and a half, 2 hours. In the near future, this radio transmission's almost over, and I want to go to Brad and somebody calling themselves Dr. Tracy. Well, I guess they're a doctor of some type. But briefly, Dr. Blaylock, fire out your website again for folks to get books and videos on these subjects.
All right, it's RussellBlaylockMD.com, RussellBlaylockMD.com, and you can get to the books and free information and DVD newsletter through that, and also some of the papers I've published, I put on there that you can directly download.
Okay, Doctor, we're going to come right back to you in 1 minute. I think take a final call from Dr. Tracy because I want to hear what they have to say. But before I do that, remember that this hour was brought to you by MySolarBackup.com. We couldn't do it without these sponsors. These are great folks from our good friends at Solutions for Science with a great catalog of products. But this is an 1,800-watt power source, power plant, and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity. MySolarBackup.com. Give them a call at 877-327-0365. Again, MySolarBackup.com or 877-327-0365. And I believe in getting off the grid or at least being self-sufficient, being on the grid, but also being able to go off the grid. This is a good way to start. MySolarBackup.com or 877-327-0365. And again, sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Blaylock, but that is how we fund this whole operation. That's why I hope people go to your website as well and support you. And we're going to put that up on prisonplanet.tv screen before this hour ends. Before I say go to this final call, I just want to thank you, sir, for everything you're doing. And if it wasn't for people like you getting the truth out who've been inside the system, we would be in a lot worse straits right now. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, and I thank you for all your valuable work. You do a tremendous amount. You know a lot. So it's valuable information.
Well, I mean, I'm not even that smart of a person, but how would I mean, knowing that there's this evil elite doing this, how would I not want to know all about it? I mean, how would you not want to know? That's what I can't believe about the public. I mean, this is real what we're talking about. I mean, even if people are doubting us, if there's a 1% chance we're telling the truth, don't they want to know?
Well, the interesting thing is all they have to do is use their media and say, well, everybody who thinks there's a conspiracy is a nut. And that way they won't even look into it. And you can say, well, read this book, read this book, read this material, read this congressional report. They won't do it. Because It's just they're lazy intellectually, and it's easy just to say, oh, they're just a nut.
And they're brain damaged. They've grown up in this eugenic system.
That's true. But, you know, all they have to do is look at it. These authoritative sources. These are people high in government that are saying these things. These are professors that have been through the system. These are congressional hearings. Just read it. It's
you know what?
Well documented.
You know what? I have a capacity here to go into overdrive. Will you do 5 more minutes with us, overdrive on the show, so we can take a few more of these calls, Doctor?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to do 5 more minutes into overdrive. And then after the overdrive's over, folks, you can tune back into the restream at InfoWars.com or subscribe to the free podcast. But we'll go out of the show with Dr. Tracy from Utah and hold Dr. Tracy over as the show ends here in about 45 seconds. But we'll continue streaming on the web. Dr. Tracy in Utah, then we'll go to Brad and Angela, and that'll be it. Dr. Tracy, go ahead and start your point.
Thank you, Alex. It's been a long time since we've done a show together, but I want to thank you for having one of the greatest medical pioneers in our day on the
air. Well, remind me who you are, Dr. Tracy.
I'm the expert on antidepressant medications, Prozac, Pandora.
Yeah.
But Dr. Blaylock has done an incredible job. I have always, always recommended his wonderful book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Killed.
Okay, hold it there. We're going into overdrive right now. One place, InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So find the streams there. Okay, I'm going to continue. John, I'm just going to do about 3 minutes here and say bye. The network can do that, correct, John? Okay, that's fine. We'll do 3 minutes right now. Okay, finish up your point, Dr. Tracy. Dr. Tracy, did you want to finish your point with Dr. Blaylock?
I would love to.
Okay, go ahead. We got just a few minutes.
Oh, right now?
Yes, we're on air.
Okay, I'm sorry. What I'd like to say is that everything that Dr. Blaylock has said is true. They are killing people at an incredible rate. And if your listeners are not aware of hospice and how they are going in and euthanizing many of the elderly, they need to go to hospicepatients.org because it's happening.
Hospicepatients.org. Well, that's even been in the Wall Street Journal with the Smith articles about how the people are chained down begging for food and water. Doctor?
Exactly. It's
Dr.
worse
Blaylock?
Than Dachau or Auschwitz. They're bringing Dachau and Auschwitz right into people's homes.
Dr. Blaylock, you were trying to say something?
No, I was just listening, and I thank Dr. Tracy. But, you know, we have to be a lot more alert to these things because they have very benign-sounding names, a lot of these things, and they promote themselves as somebody who wants to do good and help with the problems of society. But, you know, you have to be very critical in your observations to pick up these things.
Dr. Tracy, send an email to Aaron with 2 A's at InfoWars.com is producing right now. And I do remember interviewing you now years ago. It's been years and years, and perhaps we'll have you back on. And send that hospice address because I do want to cover how they're killing the elderly and infirm. I know people here in Austin who have their parents taken away, and then they just go euthanize them, you know, kill them with morphine. And Dr. Blaylock, again, I just want to thank you for all the time that you've spent with us again. List some of your films and books in closing.
Well, I appreciate it, but the main film is Nutrition and Behavior, which goes into a lot of details about how to protect your children's brain as well as your own from these behavioral effects of the food. And Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life is one of the recent books. Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients is a recent book on cancer. And my original book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And I have an e-booklet on how to survive nuclear radiation. I have a book on bioterrorism, which you can get through that website. But the e-booklet on protection against radiation terrorism and radiation damage, I think people would be interested in. Very nicely done by my son. And I have a newsletter, the Blaylock Wellness Report, that's published by Newsmax.com.
All right, we are out of time. Dr. Blaylock, again, I salute you to all the other callers. Sorry we don't have time to get to you. Can I have you back up in the next month, sir, to do more on solutions, which you really focus on? I mean, we've done two parts now on who the elite are, what their program is. I'd like to have you back up exclusively on solutions.
Sure. That'd be great.
All right, and thank you, too, Dr. Tracy, for calling in. Well, Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD, we salute you, and have a great new year, sir.
Thank you. You, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Go ahead and take us out of here, boys, with some outro music. I want to thank John for the great job that he is doing up there at the GCN Radio Network in Minnesota. We're down here in Austin, Texas. Rebroadcast starts now with a bunch of key info on Gaza Strip, what's really going on, how it's meant to expel and terrorize the Palestinians into leaving, Israel's own documents, own news, own admissions. Very, very serious issue there. We also get into the economy. Pat Robertson and getting behind the global warming garbage and saying socialism's taking over, it's a good thing. We even got into UFOs today. Big, giant Homeland Security surveillance blimps. And they're telling the public that it's flying saucers. So just unbelievable how dumb they think the public is. Anyways, we're out of time. God bless you all. Rebroadcast starts right now. At InfoWars.com. Get in there, get the free podcast, keep spreading the word about the YouTube videos. We are reaching millions a day just on the YouTubes alone now. I salute all of you for what you're doing. God bless you. Get out there and fight for humanity and our future. We don't have a choice. Take care. The mountains that we move. I'm going to sing it going out. Caught like a wildfire. I love you all, folks. I feel so much love for my fellow man. And nothing left to lose, but I remember what she said to me, how she swore that it would never end. I hope we're not running against the wind. I hope we can turn this around, or we don't have any future. What I didn't know then, against the wind. All right, I'm out of here. Gotta have some fun. I love you. We're going to defeat tyranny together. Vaya con Dios.